The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Thursday Night Destruction, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Pro Wrestling 101, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way to do so is to leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you buy anything from Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com and click on the Amazon button. Doesn't cost a thing, but a percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you're interested in putting our logo on your chest, go over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and buy one of our logo shirts. Or if you feel like buying a Shining Wizards Network shirt or any other designs that we've come up with, go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Become our friend on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Come check us out on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Or send us some hate mail, WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. We hope you enjoyed tonight's program and thanks for your continued support.
Hey, buttheads. You're listening to Jason Hervey on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Hitting RKOs out of nowhere. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
A baby brown baby. Hey, I'm overweight Larry. Hey, I'm Fat Albert.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Kevin.
See, if Kevin would have done a voice, it would have been funny, because then it would have insinuated that Matt was fat.
What?
Because we all did the baby brown baby
the
voice.
Baby brown
I can't do that voice.
Baby brown. Baby Brown, baby.
Oh, you know, I guess I can do it.
Brown,
you are.
Baby Brown, baby.
Yeah, all right.
Just a bunch of brown babies in here.
Just a show like this all night long.
Four big old brown babies.
We're black people. We love the blacks. You speak for yourself.
What's going on, boys?
Oh, God. Nothing, man.
Oh, boy.
Ringing the bell already.
There it is.
So nothing's going on?
Oh.
Nope.
And let's
call it a night.
Yep.
Oh, we got a closing number ready?
Yeah, let's end this before it starts.
Yeah.
So what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good.
We are doing awesome.
Edward was not here last week.
No, but you guys, you promised to have UHA Nation on, but you had UHA Nation on instead.
UHA. UHA.
We had Yoo-Hoo Nation.
That's his older brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like family.
I get it. They're all related.
Matt was going to say something inappropriate.
No, I wasn't.
We knew it was UHA Nation, but we just, once UHA was said, we just went with it.
I just kept thinking about Yoo-Hoo, like the drink, the chocolate drink.
Adam Lucidi was in studio, too.
Yeah, yes. He's very funny.
Yeah, he just did his show. There's a link up. I'll put it up, too, later on, but you can actually catch his set on Nash.
I didn't watch it yet. I lied on his Facebook and said, hey, that's some good shit. I didn't see it.
Oh, no, really? He actually listens to the show.
Is he like funny or like he's my friend funny?
He is funny.
Yeah.
I've seen his act probably, me and Matt were just talking about this. I've seen his act like probably more than just about anybody.
Yeah.
And I laugh every single time.
Cool.
Like, every single thing that he comes up with, it's gold.
Nice.
And that's just not because he's my friend. It's legit.
Excellent.
So check it out. At Adam Lucidi on Twitter.
Check it out.
He was funny last week, too. We talked Cyclops, Shawn Michaels, and I was telling Kevin on the way down, I've been watching the Monday Night Wars.
On the
Every
network.
Time I watch anything pertaining to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Cyclops, Shawn Michaels.
I get so fucking mad.
Why?
I hate Shawn Michaels.
What? Why?
I hate him so much.
Yeah, he was hard to deal with.
He was a prick. There's video of him like pretending like he's jerking off on his face and he's like stroking his dick.
So it sounds like what you did during the late 90s at ECW shows.
You know what? I wasn't I don't think I was that. It was more like ECPW shows.
Oh, God.
ECW shows, I fit right in with the crowd.
Yeah.
But it pissed me off so much. I was a Bret Hart guy. Every time I see that, I
you
get
were blinded.
So mad because his whole career was ruined by that. He went to WCW and it was like he had Ebola. It was awful.
What?
It was awful. His WCW run was terrible.
Sure
he was.
He was
misused.
Yes,
misused.
Hey, he was or a former misused. Television or United States champion.
Yeah, he was even a world champion.
World champion, too.
Later on, though.
Yeah, but...
After Owen died.
Yeah. So bad. Just pisses me off.
Well, there were a lot of factors that went into that, not the least of which was Montreal in and of itself, which you can blame more so on Bret than anything else.
And I'm not saying Bret was right by any stretch of the imagination, but just like, oh, Shawn Michaels found God. It's okay now that he was a complete douchebag for
Well, that's kind of
how
it works.
Yeah.
No!
He's still that way. If you watch one of the old pay-per-views, I think from 2006, this is after Jesus was found. He's looking for a ladder under the ring, and he just starts flipping out, and he's like, there's no fucking ladders under 15 feet under here. What the fuck? Like, he starts flipping out. So he's the same. He's the same.
Well, I think he's angry because something wasn't where it was supposed to be. I mean,
like
I would
his,
be angry,
like his
too.
Vision?
Remember the time Eddie Guerrero was wrestling and Vicky was out of position? He started cursing her out?
Damn it, Vicky!
Yeah, but that's different because that's another person. You have a conversation before you go out. Here's the spot.
Yeah.
The little midget with the mask is going to do something, and I'm hanging, and you're supposed to do something else.
Rey Mysterio? Like, yeah, the little midget with the mask?
Were they fighting over Dominic?
Or when
were they?
Yeah, they had Dominic on a pole. They had his adoption papers or some garbage.
Or when Rico was on the top rope, ready to do a moonsault.
Oh, he was yelling at Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy,
God damn it, Jeff!
Yeah, I love when things like that.
So Sean yelling at inanimate objects is bad, but
no, he wasn't. He was cursing at fans. He was just a dick.
Well, so's Randy Orton, and he's still gainfully employed, and people seem to like him.
Kofi, stupid.
That was awesome too.
To be like, I don't know. You got to remember, there's that gap of time where I didn't watch
wrestling.
Yeah, but
it wasn't during that gap. It was recent. It was against your buddy Kofi Tits.
You got to remember, recently I haven't been watching WWE.
Yoga Tits?
Good point, sir. Good point.
But God, it's still... Is there something wrong with me that it still bothers me?
Yeah.
No, because I'm just like him. Bret Hart is my favorite of all time, and we look at it through blinders. Like Bret Hart could do no wrong, and then as I got older, and as I see how many wrestlers actually sided with Vince in the decision to do the screw job. Granted, these are all WWE produced documentaries, so obviously they're gonna say the right thing, but. I agree. I mean, Vince couldn't take that chance.
Yeah, exactly. The screw job is like an institution in professional wrestling. It's always been around.
Yeah.
Like, if anybody brushes up on the wrestling history, you'll see that it's happened many times over the years.
Didn't it happen to Moolah?
It happened. It was Wendy Richter back in the 80s. Wendy Richter was trying to hold him up for a new contract, and they're like, you know what? Go out there and we'll talk when you come back. Came back with no belt and no shame and no pride and went off to go see Vern Gagne.
What is this?
You know what this is.
Oh, God. I know the answer because I can see his laptop.
What is it?
Come on. You'll know about...
It's Tell Me a Lie.
No.
Is it Battle of the Network Stars?
No, it's never been a time to say goodbye.
It's Bret Hart's song.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This or the stupid Shawn Michaels Tell Me a Lie?
They're both
terrible.
I would rock out to this.
Yeah, but Shawn Michaels sang Sexy Boy.
Yeah, he did.
Tell Me a Lie was a good song.
Was it now?
Not really.
Video.
That was my prom song. Tell me a lie.
Yeah, we could hate Shawn Michaels' personality, but in ring, the best ever.
I agree.
The best ever. Yeah.
Better than Eddie Guerrero?
Yes.
Betty.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you put Eddie Guerrero as the best ever?
No.
Eddie Guerrero is up there.
He's talented, sure, but the best ever?
No, Eddie Guerrero was great in WCW. I think his personality shined more in WWF, but... his matches were better in WCW.
Well, when he came to WWF, he just did exactly what Conan was doing in WCW.
Except without breathing heavy.
Like I just spilled water all over myself.
Come on, what are you guys, idiotic today?
It's my shirt, it's not your monitor.
Okay, because Matt friggin' drenched my the couch. Jeez, God. I can't even talk.
No, you would be surprised how much alcohol is in just like the tip of the bottle.
Matt likes the tip.
The tip is leaking.
Just the tip.
Yeah,
just
but you notice, you look at Eddie Guerrero when he came in and did all that Latino heat. He was doing the exact same thing Conan was doing in WCW with the Odale and the Vatos and all that stuff.
Yeah, but Eddie Guerrero had much more charisma.
You know what's weird?
I think Conan's a little underrated in that aspect.
Speaking of Mexicans, watch old WCW where Rey Mysterio's got a real dark tan and no tattoos.
Oh, weird.
It's he looks like your son.
Same height.
Seriously, same build.
Same face. What's happening here? Oscar?
Oscar.
Jesus.
So what did we miss? Like, what happened this week in wrestling?
Well, I know you were putting up stuff about Bound for Glory. Did you actually pay for it, or did you illegally stream it?
Whoa. Really?
What?
Did you watch the pay-per-view, Eddie? That's how you ask him.
Yeah, I watched the pay-per-view.
There you go.
I watched.
Gives a shit a feel. Everyone illegally streams the pay-per-view.
Suit yourself.
You're not going to pay for that garbage.
I didn't pay for it. I didn't watch it either, so yay me.
Here's my problem. I watched Impact, which is the first problem, Wednesday night. Jesus. Oof. I taped it, and then I watched it the other day. It's the go-home show. Bound for Glory, if I'm incorrect, someone correct me. That's like the WrestleMania, right?
That's what they've been touting it to be sure.
How does this work then? How are you?
LOL WCW.
I don't
1993
get it.
WCW.
LOL Disney tapings.
Yep. Which people still talk about that to this day. And then TNA goes and tapes events after the pay-per-view that are supposed to air after the pay-per-view with all different champions, yet has the WrestleMania pay-per-view in Japan with the champions that aren't champions holding belts that they lost.
And some of the champs not even working.
Well, would you want your WrestleMania of pay-per-views held in front of 9 people in freaking St. Louis, Missouri or something like that? You're getting a guaranteed crowd in Japan.
Yeah, but you're not showing it live.
Right.
So for me, as much as it intrigued me, I don't want to put down $35 to see this when I just read the spoilers.
That's
wasn't
how much?
It 60?
I don't know. What? I don't know how much it was.
I don't either.
Way to break that one.
I don't know.
There's nothing on it that draws me in. Nothing.
No.
And how do you have your WrestleMania without your world champion defending the championship?
Or your tag champs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the tag champs was there.
I don't even know what's going on.
Isn't Abyss or Tommy Dreamer one of them the
No,
champs?
I think who's ever with James Storm.
Bobby Roode?
No, James Storm and someone.
Sonata?
Spoiler alert. They win the tag titles in like 2 weeks, dickos.
And is Samoa Joe still the TNA X Division champ?
I don't think
no.
so. He lost it, right?
Yeah, he lost it.
He worked the Bound for Glory. They put Kaz Hayashi in it because he was hurt.
Yeah.
Yoshi.
I thought Kaz Hayashi was always supposed to be in that.
No, Kaz Hayashi was there.
They added low-key. They made it a 3-way dance because Joe was hurt.
It was the only really good match in the show.
They had to have two guys take Joe's place.
No, Joe was worked the match too.
Joe was there?
Yeah,
yes.
Joe Loki
really confused.
Versus Kaz Hayashi.
Yes, and it was fantastic. That was a good match. But it was funny seeing Joe carry the belt to the ring, like, come on.
Was it funnier looking into the crowd and seeing empty seats?
Well, that was funny too.
You got lambasted for making a great point.
That's because you got all these little TNA fanboys.
You guys saw that, right?
Fans.
No.
Bunch of idiots.
What'd you say?
It's not what Eddie said. It's what Tanae and Taz said.
Tanae and Taz say, we're here at the sold out, what's the name of the hall?
Bukaki Hall.
Corky Hall from Life Goes On.
Yankee Cranky.
Korakuen, whatever. They're sold out, and then 3 seconds later, they cut to a panning shot of rows and rows of empty chairs.
Were they playing the Nitro theme when they did this?
And my observation was, it's not smart. I said, I don't care what the attendance is. I started off by saying, I don't care what the attendance is, but don't say that your event is sold out and then cut to a bunch of empty freaking, not just chairs, but rows. And then people are like, bleh, 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 you know, shut up.
And you just hate TNA.
You're stick
awful.
It up your ass, you stupid ass new fans. Go watch ROH.
I think the worst part was that Dixie's crying and wah, wah, wah. Oh, my God, there's like a tsunami coming. And then they put James Storm's head in the middle of the picture of the tsunami and tweet it out.
Yeah.
LOLTNA. I'm sorry, folks. As much as we love the talent that's there, and we know that they can have quality wrestling, and they do most of the time, the rest is just
it's junk.
Bad.
It's junk. Or maybe just maybe we'll bad. Find the next Eddie Guerrero here in Japan.
No.
She's such an idiot.
They have.
She said that?
Yes. This is who's running a multi-million-dollar company.
Wait, who?
Dixie Carter.
What's a multi-million-dollar company? TNA?
Yes.
A multi-thousand-dollar company?
They're backed by Panda Energy, which is $1 billion.
I was about
company.
To say, I could have bought this 12-pack of Twisted Tees with their budget.
No, they're backed by a lot of money.
Well, that's Panda, obviously, but that's not.
It's her family.
The problem is, on paper, I think they might have a better roster than WWE, like talent-wise. Guys that can work.
Some
WWE's somebody got a called roster. And left a message last week about Bobby Roode. Spot on. The dude is money. On Impact, he was fucking great.
Oh yeah.
He looks good. He can talk on the stick.
Done.
It sucks.
That's it.
It sucks.
Him
so
and AJ
hard.
Style both. They ruined their careers by staying there and trying to be the Sting of TNA.
Sting.
You don't get anywhere trying to be the Sting. Of TNA. You don't. You move on.
But
the big dance. The big dance is WWE. Look how AJ Styles was rewarded for his, you know, for sticking around. He was fired.
Thank you, AJ.
Yeah,
sugar.
Come on. Now, that's what you get for your dedication and devotion.
Which guy do you think was looking at him when he got fired?
Can you fault them for not wanting to go over there because maybe they were afraid they'd get buried in mid-card madness?
You're still making better money. You still make a name for yourself, and you
try.
Yeah, but
you're
best.
On the road a lot more.
You make it. You can pay your phone bill too.
Why? Who couldn't pay their phone bill?
TNA doesn't pay anybody really,
unless you're like if you're not a name. I know like
right.
Zima had problems and a couple of the other guys, but like an AJ Styles or Bobby Roode, I don't think they have those problems.
They were offering him half of what he was going to be already making.
Oh, and rightfully, I mean, he should have walked.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
And I believe WWE offered him a lowball deal, but you go. You're, you know, 36, 37. You go. And
37?
You, yeah. 37?
Did they offer him a deal?
Yeah, but they lowballed him, so he said no. But you could.
How do you lowball a guy who's never been there?
You work your way up, you know? Well, he thought he was lowballed.
Yeah, isn't Steen making like $300 a week?
Steen.
Isn't that what they're all making down in developmental?
Basically. Yeah. But that's what you do.
Like, what's Sami Zayn making? What's Sammy Callahan making? He's been down there for, like, what, 2 years now?
Pancakes.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Nice with the foot.
I like that.
I'm in chill mode.
That was clever.
That was good. But to me, wrestling events that happen in Japan always seemed like they would be special. You know, that's why I was watching. I'm like, this is going to have a cool special feel. They're all in Japan. But it seemed like very forced. Like a very forced special. Like, oh, this is special. We're in Japan. This is special. But watching it, it was just not special in the least at all.
How was the matches were decent, though, right?
A few here and there. I mean,
I don't recognize any of these Japanese names. And then I'm just looking at the TNA guys there. I mean, other than Team 3D, Samoa Joe. Seems like a pretty lackluster card. Manic, I guess.
Manic looked good.
I don't recognize any of these Japanese names.
You know what I probably would have enjoyed more if they had it on the show? Showing these guys out and about in Japan. Like, just all going out, getting sushi, or going to, like, sing karaoke with, like, the geisha women and stuff.
Yeah,
that
but
would
none
be
of
completely entertaining.
Yeah, but no one there has a personality.
they show EC3
except
at the sushi.
EC3,
he's money.
Fantastic.
He'll be picked back up by WWE.
Really?
I truly believe so. Yeah, he is really good.
Well, he should do it soon before TNA goes out of business.
Even
right?
though he cut the worst promo ever.
Worse than Kurt Hennig's kid? The birth of McGillicuddy? Right now, this moment?
In this moment, right now, this moment.
Right now, in this moment.
Is the moment.
This is the moment of the moment.
How? There's no excuse. Maybe that's why he's never made it. There is no excuse that you grow up the son of Mr. Perfect. You're surrounded by wrestling. You want to get into wrestling, and you can't talk? There's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's none.
Your dad dying before you were an adult.
That should make you want to thrive to be better.
Yeah, but you lost your biggest source of information.
There's the WWE Network for $9.99.
Isn't Larry Henning still alive?
Yeah, he has his grandfather.
Well, there you go.
But come on, you can't compare.
So
Kurt
you're saying
because
Kurt Henning,
Henning
died,
Larry
that
Axe knows
Joe Henning can't talk?
Mr. Perfect,
he went mute.
Mr. Perfect was probably one of the greatest all around characters to ever.
True, but Larry came up during the time when the old school guys came.
Oh,
up.
Oh, Larry could cut a hell of a scary promo.
Larry is a scary fucking dude.
He still is. What? He still is.
Back then, it wasn't even bullet points. They just let him let shit fly.
Yeah, they said, here's point A, we get to point B, go.
Yeah.
Well, you look at it, too. When Kurt came up, he was doing programs with Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah.
And all those big guys.
Jerry Lawler.
Ray Stevens.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Who's his son working with?
You study.
Ryback?
You practice.
This kid trains with The Rock, for God's sake.
You can practice, but until you're there with, if somebody's not showing you, like, putting him with Paul Heyman made sense, but that lasted, like, 2 months.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Like, you can practice all you want, but until you're there live and you go through the curtain and Heyman says, this is what you should have done, this is what you shouldn't have done, and there's all that stuff, you know, because I know, because, you know, I speak frequently.
You cut a mean promo.
No, I don't. I can't even get through fucking a show without stuttering.
I think you could probably cut a better promo than half the TNA roster. And the entire ROH roster, for a couple of those guys.
But I think, like, the times, as much as people say, like, it doesn't matter, I think it does. When these guys are coming up and they're not around, you know, people who know the business or know what they're doing, and they're all used to reading off the teleprompter or having a script handed to them.
I think just because you're the son, just because it's in your lineage and it's in your blood, it's not a slam dunk that you're going to have it.
Look at David Flair.
Yeah, but look at the daughter.
Charlotte. Yeah. So maybe it skips a sperm.
It skips a sperm.
So wouldn't you feel like you need to live up to that name then? Getting into it, you know right off the bat, like, you're going to get compared to him all the time.
Work on it.
So you need to perfect your craft.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
but there is a natural charisma that some people just don't have. It's like a God-given talent that if you don't have it, I would have just stuck him in a tag team with fucking Fandango and just let them fucking run roughshod in tag team. Some guys are just meant to be that role of a tag guy.
What happened to Fandango?
I haven't seen him in months.
Somebody mentioned that like 2 weeks ago. I forget who I was listening to. They're like, "Where's Fandango?" Like, that's
Johnny
a great
Curtis.
Question.
We'll continue this conversation in 2 weeks when we ask, "What happened to Adam Rose?"
He wasn't on Raw last night, was he?
No.
Thank God.
He's done.
He really looks like he's constantly sucking on a lemon. Like, his face is just like that prune kind of look.
They blew it with him.
Oh,
man.
They sure did.
I'll tell you this much. Joe Henning, great athlete. Fantastic wrestler.
Yeah, you know, Curtis Axel's just the DS's.
Oh, DS. Drizzling variety.
How many second or third generation wrestlers are currently on the main roster right now?
Randy Orton, Dusty Rhodes, Cody Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Whatever,
if
Dustin Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes' father, the plumber, was the greatest superstar of all
Bray
time.
Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas.
Dustin Rhodes. Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes.
Kofi Kingston. Who's that, Kamala's kid?
No.
What? That's not even... good.
Bray and Bo.
We said that.
Bray and Bo.
Run them all down again right now. Off the top of our head. Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas.
Randy Orton.
Cody Rhodes. I don't even count Randy Orton anymore. He's like a superstar. He's like the first Orton to me now.
He counts.
Well, same thing with The Rock. He was third generation.
Okay. You want to throw... Well, all right,
The
Rock.
He's still hanging around.
Let's talk about the younger guys. Let's talk about the guys that are...
Curtis Axel is still there.
Yes, Curtis Axel.
The Usos.
True.
All these guys we're mentioning right now are amazing, except on the mic, even. They have charisma, except for Joe Henning.
Right. So if
and
all
Ted DiBiase Jr., who was Ted also DiBiase. A phenomenal worker.
I thought Ted DiBiase got the shaft, man.
Dude, DiBiase Posse could have went somewhere.
Even before that.
I'm not even joking, dude. Hanging out in the parking lots at the events? Like, who didn't want to hang out with the DiBiase Posse?
Me?
I would have.
F the DiBiase.
Not just because
Posse.
It rhymes means it's a good idea.
No, it's a terrible idea.
It was something for him to do and something that could have legs.
No, I would have.
Stupid. Drugs is something to do too, but it's not a smart choice.
Jesus.
He's right.
He's got a point.
All right, so you take all the guys that we just mentioned. Who do you guys think is obviously the best and made the most out of their opportunity? And who do you think is just going to flood away and never be heard of again. Wait, other than Joe Hennig.
So we're not talking about Randy Orton. We're leaving him out of it.
Well, no, but he's already done it all. He's already a
the newer guys.
So you're talking the newer
all,
guys.
All the guys other than Randy Orton.
Depending on the push, they're restarting Bray Wyatt because they blew it the first time.
Right.
I say
so. Bray Wyatt's
Bray
number
stays.
One.
Bo goes.
Bo.
I don't know. I think you hook up Bo with the right gimmick, he might stick around.
Bo's got a little something going on.
It's called fat. He needs to wear a singlet.
I like Bo. I just don't see it.
I don't like the Bo leave.
It's done. That's done. He's jobbing on superstars.
See, now, but look how many times they tried to start and stop Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes is still on the roster, and now he's reinvented completely with, which I wasn't a fan of at first.
Yeah.
But like a lot of things, it just takes time to grow
on. You know what? I'm going to say this. Talent shines through. You know, look at Dolph Ziggler. He's Intercontinental Champion. Ziggler. He had a hell of a match with Randy Orton.
Right.
You know?
And they always do.
So.
I'm just pulling out names. You got guys like who have never even sniffed wrestling in their lineage. They were just fans. Like Ziggler was an all-around natural athlete. Guys like, look at The Miz, all right? I'm just pulling that out. No wrestling experience whatsoever.
Just
no
a huge
lineage,
fan.
Just a fan.
Yep.
Comes in, sucks the pipe for I don't know how many, first couple years he's been around.
Still sucking the pipe.
No, dude, he's good, man. And learns and gets better. And some things you don't have to be a third or second generation guy to pick up.
Right.
And I think that just because Joe Hennig is a talented guy, he has no look. He's an athlete. That's it. And sometimes that's not enough.
Yeah, I'm just saying he grew up around a grandfather and a father that was in the business. If it was his plan to be a wrestling superstar, you have to perfect every craft from top to bottom. And they should have instilled that in them, and I'm sure they did. But it's just maybe you're right. Maybe some people just don't have that spark, you know?
He's got
Kayla's spark.
And he's still earning Kayla's spark. And he's still earning a paycheck. He's still
for
there.
Now.
I think they have him on the shelf till Ryback comes back, and then maybe that's stupid too.
That's another
dude. Ryback was
ball
getting popped towards the end of his. They were almost. I thought there were signs where he would be coming back up to the top of the card.
Yeah,
and maybe he will when he comes back. But
I don't know
if he comes back as like drugged up, getting ready to go into surgery. Ryback, it's
like,
a win.
Like Hawk,
it's a win.
Towards the end of Hawk's run,
that video of him before he goes in for surgery, where he's talking about the moms, is hysterical.
He's great. Yeah, I'm a fan of Ryback. I think they really screwed up.
And again, it's what they did. But certain guys, like, just don't belong in a better spot than they are. Curtis Axel, whatever the hell you want to call him. That first of all, that was stupid too, and I think we've talked about that for a long time.
What,
that
Michael
stupid,
McGillicuddy?
That stupid name.
And Curtis Axel.
Michael McGillicuddy and Curtis
Axel. What's wrong with Joe Hennig? If you're going to say the son of the late, great Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig
and his last
Billy
name is
Jeans,
yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, there's Billy Jeans. Wait, why is his last name Jeans? This doesn't make sense.
Because corduroys is hard to spell.
McGillicuddy. McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy. Michael Maybe he's just depressed. He's like, this sucks.
Dude,
Curtis Axel.
shut up.
Just shut up with your nonsense.
Dude, I liked when they were like on like when they had the dumb shows, NXT before NXT was NXT.
When it was like Double Dare?
Yeah, when it would be when they had to fill the glass of water above the red line. That's God. When but
they'd hold a cherry
Curtis
in their
Axel
ass
and,
cheeks.
And Johnny Curtis were a good tag team, man.
Yeah.
And that could have been cool, but, I mean, that would be twofold for them caring about tag teams and actually giving a shit.
True.
So.
Which I guess brings us to Raw.
Sure. We didn't even talk about the shirts that we got. You want to save that for later? The shirts are in?
We could talk about that, sure.
We'll talk about that later, I guess.
Yeah, we can mention it now. It's just that we were running out of the gate. We've been rolling for about a half an hour.
That's true.
We didn't really get a chance to get into anything else. The Kick Cancer shirts arrived last Friday. You should already have yours if you've ordered it. If not, it'll be at your house in the next day or two.
They're looking sharp.
They are sharp. And we are helping the friends helping friends until there's a cure. They're holding their event this Saturday, and I wish I had the information in front of me.
I will plug it later.
I could punch it up real quick because it's right on our website. What website is that? ShiningWizards.com.
I'm wearing brown socks with black pants.
You sure are.
And your socks are inside out, by the way, too.
That's because I wore them yesterday, kind of like my boxers. Yuck.
It's this Saturday, October 18th, from 7 to 11 at the VE Club, which is 130 Davisville Road, Warminster, Pennsylvania. It's just northeast of North Philadelphia, or northwest of North Philly. It's right outside of Philly. It's about 90 minutes from the New Jersey area where we are.
There's a lot of cancer there, guys.
It's $40 a ticket. There's beer, wine, soda, food. They've got comedians. They've got a local band.
What?
They've got DJ Len.
Oh, got a Tricky DJ Train. Len, really?
Of course.
Wait a second. They got comedians?
Yes.
What's going on here?
Well, they're Pennsylvania comedians. How funny can they be?
That's true.
But it's for a good
cause.
Adam. Our friend Nina, she's a breast cancer survivor. She's doing this for two friends of hers who are, you know, suffering through stage 4 right now, which is just an awful thing. So we're just trying to raise some awareness, raise a couple of bucks to help these guys out with their medical costs and all other kinds of things. ShiningWizards.com/kickcancer. We still have shirts in stock. If you'd like to go to the event, go to ShiningWizards.com. Check out the information. It's all right up there on Front Street. And these shirts look awesome. We're already getting pictures of people sending them to us. We're actually going to do a whole page just of people wearing the shirts, a couple of pictures from the event this Saturday.
DJ Len.
I want a picture of DJ Len. I have to put word into Nina to get a picture of DJ Len.
Is there any DJ Len music?
Oh, yeah. I got a song right here.
If you be my sunshine.
Isn't that DJ Len?
Lying on the park, it's a day of last week.
You guys remember that stupid song?
I played DJ Len at a party.
This is DJ Len. I'm not kidding.
Is it really?
There could be a bunch of DJ Lens.
We hate cancer.
DJ Len Ford?
Cancer sucks.
Cancer.
Cancer sucks.
Cancer.
Find a cure!
Let the cancer drop. All right. Stop. Find a cure.
Hold on. No, let it go, Eddie.
Wait, Matt's got something.
I thought we were going to do a mashup.
Oh, I was trying, but oh, I got to keep it on. Keep it on. All right, we're going to mix. We're mixing.
Jesus.
For all my homies out there that are suffering.
Oh, fucking DJ Len rules.
Listen to this great mix by DJ Len.
Oh, fuck.
Be my sunshine.
Oh, shit.
Jesus. Oh, this is great. I'll keep it going. DJ Len is great. I love DJ Len.
Alrighty. Alright, I've had enough of DJ Len.
I've had enough of Len.
It's a good call.
You remember that? Do you remember that song?
I'm 200% nigga. Keep it up. Nigga.
For you, nigga.
No.
Keep it up.
Jesus! We going for you, nigga.
DJ Len.
That's DJ Len, guys.
Keep
it
up,
my
nigga.
So,
in your face.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, Evan Prout. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
So sorry. Holy. I didn't know DJ Len was a racist.
DJ Len is super racist.
Wait, that's Evan Prout?
Okay, that was not DJ Len.
That was just Len and us.
Yeah.
That was Lenus.
Okay, so support kicking cancer in the face.
In the hiney.
Oh, please do.
Kick it in the hiney.
Go to iTunes. Check out DJ Len. Oh, god damn it.
It hurts. It hurts so bad.
Ooh, can we take a fiver?
No.
You want to take a break?
No, I'm trying to, like...
All right.
Unlike last week, I don't have a bit. I'm literally sweating my balls off right now.
Let's talk about a...
We can go to Raw.
Yeah, let's go to Raw.
Yeah, let's go Raw, Kevin.
Let's go to Raw. Who wants to pull up the results?
We'll go Raw.
I got it right here.
Okay.
I'll tell you something.
I watched
a little bit of Raw.
Just a little bit. Just the tip of Raw.
They came out, and they did the whole Ambrose, Cena, they're going to be in a tag match. If the authority had announced Kane and Randy Orton, I probably would have knocked my TV off the TV stand.
Agreed.
And I don't know how I would have explained it to Rhiannon. I probably would have blamed it on the cats.
Kane again?
Kane, I can't believe it.
Again?
I really thought they were setting up another fucking Kane or in Ambrose, Cena nonsense.
Me too. I thought it was coming.
I don't understand. It's just me, okay? Triple H, he's trying to build up the WWE again.
Yes.
He's signing all these guys. He's trying to maybe bring credibility back to the business. And yes. Then he has the tag champs lose and the IC champ lose.
Yes.
I get it that it furthers the storyline, but you couldn't have found somebody else for them to beat?
Nope.
If you think about it, who else is there? Maybe Miz and Sandow?
Curtis Axel.
Could they have just beat... the Dust Brothers?
Right.
Could they have brought out the Matadors?
No, but the Dust Brothers are the tag champs.
Or, I mean, the Usos?
Yeah, why not?
Or
yeah,
Slater Gator or, like, two jobber tag teams?
They should have put the tag belts on Ambrose and
just
Cena.
So you know, they beat both the Dust Brothers and the Usos. That was a triple threat match. So yes. Not only did they beat the champions, they beat another up-and-coming tag team.
They beat
team.
The number one contender.
Yeah.
The
only
champs.
Other tag team. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, you have Big Show and Mark Henry.
Really?
That's, are they going to be a tag
that's
team?
That's still something?
No.
I know they have their
I guarantee
little...
you we're going to see them fighting some point between now and Royal Rumble.
No, just shut up.
They're not getting along.
Shut up.
I don't want anything to do with it. This whole Rusev thing is pissing me off, too.
I want to... We'll get to that. I'm going to chime in here. Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing that, once again, there's a hot angle they got to toss in Cena? Bad or good because there's a bit of a main event rub to it.
Well, Cena does have, he's got a reason to be involved in this storyline, which usually he doesn't. Usually they shoehorn him in.
Right.
But because he's been in shoehorned so much
he's
over
involved
the years.
Everything that happens.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Something organic like this should be a big deal for the Cena character, but it's not because he's just always there.
He already forgot about Brock Lesnar in the title. You know, he should still be pissed off.
Yeah, but Brock's off TV, so he's got to occupy his time with something
else.
But
he should be cutting promos every week on Brock. Like, the championship should be the most important thing to him.
That's a great point, because every week Brock wasn't on TV, Heyman was there saying, my client, the man who defeated The Undertaker.
So Cena should just be, he's the face, he just call him out, call him out. The heel doesn't show up.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the way to do it.
I completely agree with that. That's awesome.
That's what they should do. Oh, hello.
Hi, Margie. Does it? Okay, so he's shoehorned into the Ambrose Rollins feud.
I think they went the right direction, changing that from a pay per view match to a Raw match. And it's funny because that's what Vince Russo said on his last podcast. Vince Russo said, "John Cena and Dean Ambrose should not be a pay per view match. That's a Raw match. That's a TV match."
I disagree.
Why?
John Cena, I think John Cena, Dean Ambrose is a money match. Maybe not as an opener.
No, here's why. I'll tell you why. I think they changed it because they realized, okay, people probably won't want to tune into this pay-per-view because they're going to assume John Cena is going to win against Dean Ambrose. They're going to be pissed off, and it's going to be the same old, same old. So they just, we're going to put it on television instead of pay-per-view.
Yeah, but then you get it. Excuse me, another John Cena Randy Orton match in Hell in a Cell?
It's in a cell that match? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they hate their rivals.
Pretty sure it's in a cell.
Know.
Really?
Even not cell or no cell, it's still another John Cena.
Speaking
Randy
of no
Orton
cell,
match.
John Cena.
I like that.
Thank you.
You know what? Yeah, I've seen that match a million times, but it's never a bad match.
Right.
And how many times did Flair wrestle Ricky Steamboat?
On pay-per-view?
Doesn't matter. All over the world. It's not a bad match. You know, let the two of them play against each other because no one's getting buried. Let them just have their corner, have a good match, and just let them be. Give them their own space.
I have no problem thinking that it'll be a fantastic match. I just think that they pulled an audible and, like, felt that the pay-per-view wouldn't be strong enough if we didn't have a John Cena-Randy Orton match. And this is the second time that they have fought, if it is in fact in a cell, be the second time they fought at Hell in a Cell in a cell.
Well, the other thing is, what else would Randy Orton be doing if they went through with the Dean Ambrose-John Cena
match? How about elevate a younger guy?
Wait, what?
Wait, what? I don't know.
Kevin.
I'm sorry. I
how long have you been doing this show?
I'm sorry. I must be drunk.
That's crazy talk.
Put him in with somebody else? Get him away from the authority for a month and a half? No.
No way.
But I think that if this pay-per-view was on, if the network didn't exist and this pay-per-view was actually trying to get buys,
it never does.
This would be the lowest bought pay-per-view in the history of WWE.
Hell in a Cell pay-per-views are notorious for drawing terrible numbers.
Is that right?
It's true. Especially since now people know what to expect. Like, nothing's going to happen. No one's going to get thrown off the cell. No one's going to get cut open. Nothing is going to happen.
Granted, I am looking forward to Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins in the cell. I think they'll make something cool. I think they might have a moment or two in that match.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the hype for this pay-per-view has been...
Oh, it's been terrible. What are the other matches?
There's only two.
No, I got five here.
Oh, you do?
I got Cena Orton in the Hell in the Cell. Rollins Ambrose, Hell in the Cell. U.S. title match, Sheamus Miz.
Okay.
All right.
Big Show Rusev.
Okay.
And then Brie versus Nikki, loser becomes the winner's servant.
Oh, God.
Can I interrupt real quick?
I'm out. I'm done.
I'm going
to the bathroom.
Okay.
I'm done.
So I bring my kid upstairs. He's playing the tank game. All of a sudden, some guy just yells, "Will you shut the fuck up?" What I didn't realize is that the Kinect down here has a microphone on it. So our entire show has been broadcast over World of Tanks on Xbox Live for the past 40 minutes.
Hey, we reached a new platform.
I look at the screen and my icon is lit up with the microphone. I said, I'm like, there's no headset. What's going on? Dude, we must have been annoying the shit out of people.
It's fantastic.
Listen, maybe we'll get a couple more listeners.
Yeah, did you...
I had it disconnected, dude. Yes.
Oh, we couldn't have thrown in a quick ShiningWizards.com.
Yeah, put it back on and let's plug it.
We did. We were playing my nigga.
You can't hear that.
Yeah, but they were hearing us saying ShiningWizards.com to kick cancer.
That's true.
Oh my god, dude, that was hilarious.
That's actually pretty funny.
Because my kids like help me out, and all of a sudden I just hear, "Will you shut the fuck?"
Who said that?
Some dude on Xbox. His name will probably pop up in the corner.
Oh, I thought one of us said that.
No.
Oh, man. All right, so that's their Hell in a Cell card right now.
Raw wasn't all that terrible last night.
Just real quick, did you talk about the six-woman match?
No, that's...
Why would we?
That's okay, what I was going to build up to.
Okay, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk about it?
No, go ahead.
Tits.
The thing that threw me off was that Brie and Nikki wound up being the last two in the ring.
Tits.
And Brie wins, gets the pin. And the announcers sold it like this was the end of their feud. Like, Brie finally got a win over Nikki, and that was the end of it. And then after Raw goes off the air, apparently they signed Nikki and Brie to wrestle at Hell in the Cell.
Just talked about that.
But for what?
Because it's not the end of their feud.
It's just ridiculous. You don't understand the weight that was off my chest when I heard that last night,
well,
that their feud was over.
With this stipulation, in fact, it seems like the feud's not going to be over anytime soon.
Oh, Kevin, why must you kill me?
Well, we just talked about it. The loser has to be the other person's servant for like a month or something like that. So we're getting it. For a little while.
It'd be real funny if one of them wins and makes the other one do like dirty sexual things to them.
Here's the thing. Every segment that the Bellas have done has been terrible lately. Terrible. No one cares. The reactions are horrible. Why do we now have to sit through servant skits with the two of them when everyone's just gonna shit all over it?
It's to sell Total Divas.
People that watch Total Divas are going to watch Total Divas no matter what happens on Raw, and it doesn't matter what happens on Raw. People are going to watch it. People know it exists. People watch the fucking Kardashians and that fucking Chisley shit.
Is that a reality show, or is that a fake? Is that a skit on reality shows?
He looks fake, right?
They're all real. Fake shows.
I understand that
real family, real people.
I understand that reality TV is fake, but I thought this was a mock reality
show.
No,
I wish.
I thought it was like, okay, because I've never seen an episode.
No, it's the gayest straight man ever.
Oh, okay, so it actually is...
Chesley!
It actually is, air quotes, a reality show.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so what was next on Raw after the tag match?
Oh, I'm just jumping around.
Yeah, don't do that.
Dolphin Orton.
Great match, awesome.
Dolphin Orton.
Dolphin.
Dolphin Orton.
Dolphin Orton.
Got our name for the show.
Dolphin Orton. Yeah, there it is. There it is. RK Ocean.
And then they have the thing with Rollins afterwards where he comes in and he curb stomps him and they kind of like... There's tension there.
Tense eyes there?
Which fucking Rollins is...
Somebody call my mom.
Rollins is losing the briefcase. Cena is beating Orton because of Rollins. Orton's leaving the Authority. He's going to feud with Rollins.
That's what happens.
That's my call.
Good call.
Thank you.
Very good call. I like that call.
Orton babyface again? I could dig that again. Every now and then it's good to recycle babyface Orton.
I think so.
Especially if you're planning to push Seth Rollins as your next guy, him and Ambrose.
Unless they just keep putting Orton over Seth Rollins.
No, but I'd like to see. I mean, it's going to keep Seth Rollins and Randy Orton busy for a little bit. I can dig that. If Randy Orton's a bit. Actually, who would be the bit? Yeah, Randy Orton would have to be the babyface.
Yeah. What else?
And you'll get good matches out of both of them.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? Sorry. I'm trying to go in order.
Did we get to Rollins versus Swagger yet? Did that happen?
That happened right after, right? Yeah, right after the Orton Ziggler,
mm-hmm.
Dolph Orton. Match Dolphin.
Dolphin Orton.
Rollins and Swagger.
Swagger should still be feuding with Rusev.
I agree. He's been saying that for months.
He's the only one that made people care about that feud.
And Mick Foley actually said on Facebook that he thought the exact same thing that we've been saying for months now, that Swagger should have been the guy that should have beaten Rusev, or at least should be the guy that's
chasing him.
Yeah. Of course, the Big Show is the monster, so you beat the Big Show. That's the setup to Cena.
And then Cena beats him.
Yeah. So.
And then 5 months later, he's dancing with Great Khali.
Can I ask a question?
That's it.
Because I'm trying, even though they are insulting our intelligence, why would Randy Orton want to face the loser of the Ambrose-Cena match?
No, he didn't want to face the loser. He wanted to face the other one.
Why?
They made sure not to say loser.
He wants
they
to
didn't
face
want John Cena to sound like a loser.
That is the other one. The other one is the loser.
That's kind of stupid.
The word loser.
But why would he? Wouldn't he want to face the winner?
Well, doesn't the winner face
the
champion?
Yeah, but it doesn't. At the time, they're not saying. He's not saying, I want to face the loser at Hell in a Cell. He's saying, I want to face the loser. So if he faces the winner, that could have been a main event for Raw next week.
Right.
But why does he want to wrestle the loser?
Because what does he gain from beating a guy that just lost?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It's a lazy setup, like when Orton just attacked Chris Jericho because it was the season premiere. Come on. How can you not write something that brings them together in a match? How can you not think of something? You have Orton and you have Chris Jericho. You're telling me that within a 5 second segment or even like a minute long segment, you can't make something happen to make them want to fight each other? Like Chris Jericho's doing a promo, Orton walks by and goes, "Hey, remember when I kicked you in the head and you disappeared? That was fun." And then and then Jericho could just start beating the shit out of him, and they have a match.
It's like the Chris Farley skits on Saturday Night Live. He's like with Paul McCartney. He's like, "Hey, remember when you were in the Beatles? You remember that?
Yeah, that was cool.
That was awesome.
Was that cool? They could have done
something like, "Hey, I remember last time I saw you on Raw, I kicked you in the head."
Yeah, boom.
Hey, go back to Fozzy because you're not a good wrestler. Something.
Yeah.
Something.
Or you find something that you are good at because you're obviously not a good singer or a wrestler.
Right.
Ooh.
Sick burn. Hit him right where it hurts. Yeah,
and then Jericho slaps him. Orton beats the crap out of him. You have a match.
Yep.
Stupid. Hate you.
Jericho's back dummy. Too.
Huh?
Jericho's back already too. He's going on tour with them in Europe. European tour.
Already on tour with them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who, WWE or Fozzy?
WWE.
Yeah, I thought he's not coming back till November.
He's still doing Fozzy.
I think he's over there with WWE as well because they're...
Yeah, because Orton's touring not working full-time anymore, so they brought Jericho in.
Oh.
But Orton wants to loot. Like, why not Orton face the winner next week on Raw? It helps build Ambrose. Because
then what do you do with Orton at the pay-per-view?
Then you have him wrestle. Him and John Cena.
Do exactly.
Weeks until... Till Hell in a Cell.
Do exactly what we just said. Have a 5 second exchange and then between somebody.
Have Cena cost Orton the match against Ambrose. Oh, there you go.
Cena cheat? The hell are you saying?
Yeah, he just, he does the old Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 4. Refs back his turn, hits him with a chair, he sits on it on the apron.
That's it.
I don't know what happened.
It's funny because, you know, talking about the four guys that got in the main event scene right now, everyone else are like, who do you put with Orton? You have a roster full of like 45 people, and I don't give a shit about any of them at all. I don't care. There's like four or five guys that have value, and the rest are terrible. And I'll say this. Hacksaw Jim Duggan said it best on the Roddy Piper podcast. They were talking about when Piper came out for Hogan's birthday. Duggan's like, you know, it's funny. They have this whole thing with all the young kids now. Piper, your music hits. The crowd goes crazy. Any of those other guys come out, the crowd's like, yay.
Yay.
And it's true. It's true. Because everyone's booked terribly. No one's made to look strong. And everyone's fed to Cena. And that's the end of it.
Does Duggan speak like very melodramatically like he did on Legends House?
Yeah.
That must have been an amazing listen.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, go to that episode with Duggan. It was cool. All right, what else we got?
Rusev.
Ross show. Put me to sleep again talking about it.
I missed that match.
Yeah, I didn't miss much.
DQ?
Dairy Queen, who's up?
Rusev wins by DQ. Mark Henry comes out.
You sound so depressed. Speak into the microphone, dude.
Sucks.
It's boring as shit.
It sucks.
There you go.
Sucks a bag of dead fried Indian baby dicks. Nice.
On a shish kebab?
Yes.
All right, so let's just get through it then so we don't have to fucking talk about it.
Fucking Big Show and Mark Henry, they're mad because they're helping each other, but then the Big Show passes out and Henry attacks Rusev and there's a DQ and then the fucking flag. Who gives a shit?
They should have ripped it down again.
Ugh.
Meanwhile, Jack Swagger is doing nothing.
Lana
even though he was getting
great reactions.
Should take
out them big floppy titties of hers and let the Big Show fucking punch those.
Douche, douche, douche.
God, he fucking annoys the shit out of me too.
Why are they both still there?
Big Show?
Yeah.
And what? Mark Henry. Henry's been around for like fucking 20 years.
I'm sorry, but Mark Henry, you know, I don't care how long he's been around. I don't think that dude's ever sold a ticket. I don't think anyone's ever said, I'm going to go to this event because Mark Henry's on
it
tonight.
What? That dude.
Remember when he did the Hall of Pain?
Yeah.
When he was like beating Orton and he was like, that was, I'm not saying it was selling tickets, but that's him as like a fucking angry black man with the fucking just wanting to hurt people. Like the face stuff is like when he did the Cena, he was going to retire. And he was crying. Like,
yep.
Leave him as a fucking heel.
But you know why that didn't work?
Because he kept hurting himself.
Because of his salmon suit.
No one cared.
Because Cena beat him. And he was no longer scary. That's what happened.
But then he shaved his head and looks like Rick Ross.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to have cornrows when they start near the back of your scalp.
I know.
Yeah.
It's his back hair.
So that was annoying. That match was boring,
and then
I guess.
Rusev, Big Show knocks him out.
So that shit continues.
Right.
Yeah,
Sheamus versus
they kind of wasted Rusev's vulnerability on that outside of the ring shit.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
I think.
Well, he was cornered between two monsters, so I don't think it's.
I don't know.
I don't care anymore.
Who gives a fuck?
I stopped caring. Like,
it's sad.
I hate that I'm actually almost borderline where Eddie is in terms of how I feel about the product.
It's crazy.
I just can't watch it anymore, and it kills me.
Thank God for Dean Ambrose.
I agree.
Thank God
for Dean Ambrose. There's trust me, there's bright spots. Dean Ambrose is probably the brightest of them all.
And he's only there because Luther Reigns hurt his dick.
That's right.
That's true, too.
And once Luther Reigns comes back with a healed penis, then it's back to the mid-card.
Well, he
for
better
you.
Be, because it doesn't seem like Daniel Bryan's coming back anytime soon.
No, he's got to get another surgery.
Tommy John surgery.
I would just quit. Ugh.
Does he?
I would just
quit. That broke today or yesterday?
Yeah.
Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
The pitcher thing?
Yeah, they do the whole fusion.
That's like a year out.
With the bone from
another
your ass.
Year out. Talk about
that's
rotten
rough.
Luck.
Yeah.
I'll say this. You know, I mean, when Roman Reigns made that appearance, I think last week on Raw or the week before via satellite.
Oh, and he's going, yep.
That was the worst shit ever. How do you not have a character? Yep. How are you not angry and mad that you're, you know, I'm injured. I was on the roll a lifetime. I'm sitting here hurt when I should be out there whooping ass. The doctors are keeping me here, but I'm going to come back 100% and everyone's on notice. I mean, good. That's all you have to say. Good. Instead of, hey, thanks. I'm feeling okay.
It should be one question and then him doing exactly what you did before.
And then that's it. Done.
And it should be in the arena.
Yeah.
Because
even get Get sympathy for him. Have him.
Get sympathy. Get that pop. Because he would get a pop again.
Him, yeah, announce him as via satellite. His music hits. He comes out like on crutches, or he's even in a wheelchair, and just cuts a promo at the top of the ramp. Maybe he slowly stands out of the wheelchair, like, oh shit.
It's too late for that. He's going to be the surprise guy at the Rumble this year.
No, he'll be back way before that.
I think they'll save him.
Oh, well, especially now with Daniel Bryan. I figured they would save Daniel Bryan, but now.
You know what? He's going to get the Batista reaction, because at this point, everyone's going to be hot for Ambrose.
Is Daniel Bryan definitely out for another?
Has this surgery, it's at least 6 months.
So he's not coming. He's definitely out for the Rumble of Mania. Do we know that?
Who knows? Nothing's for sure.
October? I would guess yes, if it's a 6 month recovery.
Because I would.
That's a tough surgery to recover from.
I understand that, but I figured I didn't realize this Tommy John nonsense.
Well, when they signed Kurt Angle, they could bring him back for the Rumble.
Yeah, but they wanted a full time contract. He turned it down.
Oh, did he? I wasn't.
From what I read,
they'll work it out.
I 100% agree. They'll work it out.
I won a gold medal with a freaking broken neck.
So now, if Kurt Angle comes back, right? Does he go into the Hall of Fame, or Sting the guy in the Hall of Fame this year?
Could be both.
Wait, is Kurt Angle in the TNA Hall of Fame yet, or is he still turning that down?
He's the TNA.
That's another. I don't even want to talk about that joke.
Oh,
none of the founders of TNA are in there. No AJ Styles.
Jeff Jarrett.
No Jeff Jarrett. I mean, come on.
Team 3D.
It's Team 3D. It's Sting and it's Kurt Angle.
I'll say this though: Team 3D and Angle were both in TNA longer than they were in WWE. It's a fact.
All right.
True.
It's a scary fact.
You think Angle had a better career in WWE, though?
Absolutely.
Well, then there's the answer to that question.
So did the Dudleys. No one cares if you're in TNA.
You fall
off the face of the earth into a black hole when you go to TNA.
Bubba Ray had a nice singles run, and that's what they were looking for when he was in WWE.
Yeah, because he booked it himself. That's another story.
True, but he's also in the best shape of his life right now.
Yeah, and he's banging the hottest girl there.
He's money, dude.
He is money. I agree.
If he goes to WWE right now,
they'll make him Bubba Ray Dudley again.
The Dudleys will come back.
Yeah.
It'll be them.
They think they could use for
the tag
division. I don't
know. I think you bring in Bully Ray. I mean, I don't know about D-Von.
You can't call him Bully
Ray.
No,
he wouldn't be Bully Ray, and no one wants to see Bubba Ray Dudley by himself.
He would just be Bubba Ray.
No, they're going to say, we want Dudleys. No one wants to see him by himself.
WWE fans crave nostalgia.
Yeah, or something, you know.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
Something they can react to.
You're not going to bring Bubba Ray Dudley, who has such a storied history, especially now at the network and all the on-demand content.
By
you can
himself?
Watch by himself and as somebody else.
No way. Forget that idea. That's hosh posh.
So in a way, the WWE network is kind of screws guys.
You know what's cool, though?
Screws them out of pay-per-view pay.
Look for the Bubba Ray Dudley stuff when he was out on his own, when he was challenging like The Undertaker and Triple H and getting everybody's face.
Oh, when he...
You could see the greatness there.
Yeah.
It's a shame they really didn't run with it because nobody believed
it. Well,
no,
it was the same. They did the same thing when they split up the fucking Acolytes. They wanted JBL, before he was JBL, to get the Monster singles push as a big Texan. That's when the NWO was there.
That was the European Championship. Remember he put the horns on it?
Wow, this is all a blur. This is when I started getting kind of like, this is shitty.
This was the first draft, the first brand extension when Ric Flair and McMahon did the draft. The NWO was there, Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Austin remained a free agent for a while. They split up the Acolytes, and I think they split up the Dudleys at the same time. That's when D-Von became Reverend D-Von, and that's when Bubba...
Deacon Batista.
That was a great idea.
And
Bubba was a singles guy, but then they couldn't figure out anything for him, so they just ended up teaming him with Spike. So you get like six mans with like Jeff Hardy, Bubba Ray, and Spike versus people at SummerSlam or whatever it was. So Bubba by himself. I think Bully Ray by himself in WWE would be fine.
But he can't do it. All right, back to Raw.
Yeah.
Oh, God, again?
Well, you got Miz
here,
and Sheamus.
Before you go, Miz, we didn't even bring up during the TNA thing how 3D called out the Bullet Club.
Who cares?
It's interesting.
Not really.
Well, they're free agents now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can get a Young Bucks 3D or Gallows and Anderson against 3D in New Japan.
That does nothing for TNA. That does worlds of wonders for Japan, but there's nothing for TNA.
Well, they edited it out of the pay-per-view, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Gay tards. Miz and Miz's fucking butt buddy over here. Sheamus. Jesus. What?
Wait, is butt buddy Sheamus?
No,
that's
Kevin.
A change the channel match.
I can't get on board with the Miz.
I watched the Miz because of Damian Sandow.
Kevin. No, it's all right.
Damian Sandow stealing the show.
You mean my idea?
Yeah, basically. He's totally turned shit into gold. Every time he gets force-fed a shit gimmick, he turns it to gold. Every time. They have to do something with him eventually. But any match with Sheamus, I'm going to go take a shit. Seriously. I can't. I don't care who he's wrestling.
And that's another example of just someone being completely... Not saying to drop the ball with him, because whatever, who cares about Sheamus. But a guy that's just so stale.
Ugh.
And it's just... And it's so commonplace on the roster right now.
So
everyone,
dull.
Dude, yeah. That whole thing with the whole Ziggler, Miz, Cesaro, Sheamus, whatever that fucking square is that they're doing there, I don't care about any of it.
Yeah.
I honestly don't.
I don't either.
And it's unfortunate because Cesaro, Ziggler, and I guess because I'm Mrs. Buffy, Miz, I think, deserve.
Tony, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, what's going on?
Are we still on?
I think so. If
what
I can
you
get back to GarageBand.
What are you trying to do?
Tony broke the
stuff. We're going, dude. We're fine.
All right. I think that the three of them deserve a lot better. And Sheamus, honestly, I agree with you. I couldn't care less about anymore either.
I don't care.
Even though I think he still has the capability of putting on great matches.
Yeah, but who cares?
I understand.
You know, it's just his matches are all the same. They're all the same. It's all right. It's everyone's match is like paint by numbers now, if you think about it.
It's been that way for a long time.
Yeah, but it's really bad. There's nothing new. It's just every match is the goddamn same. You can watch a WWE match and just know what's going to happen next. Especially if you're watching a John Cena match, because he'll actually tell you vocally what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And well, everyone will hear it.
He's got Ken Shamrock syndrome?
Yeah. Dude. Oh, my God. Bulldog! First of all, what you do is not a bulldog. That's a sloppy mess of a move.
There's a great clip of Shamrock online where he's yelling at his sister. And he goes... What the hell's wrong with you? Slap me.
That's all. That's like John Cena. I mean, come on, dude. Well, did you ever hear Hulk Hogan call a spot?
What spot would Hogan call?
He could work.
Yeah, but what spot would he ever call? He would take an ass kicking and then no.
Still, you never heard him call a spot.
Well,
you never. You ever? Okay.
The crowds were always so loud you couldn't hear it.
You ever hear Randy Savage call a spot? Ever?
Because he had everything memorized, dude.
Why are you defending these people?
Every single match Randy Savage had, he's
I'm trying
got
to
a book in his house somewhere.
Just
ask
I'm trying to make
Steamboat.
A point. All right, you ever hear Ric Flair call a spot?
Woo, no.
You don't.
Ric Flair's one of those A guys where he just never had to call anything.
Well, they did. You just didn't know.
I don't know about that.
You have to call it. You don't read people's minds in the ring. You shoot someone into the rope. You're going to hope that they know that you're going to throw a clothesline and that they duck
dude,
it
we,
and you
we
hit a crossbody.
Steamboat. Steamboat made it sound that way. And the Armstrongs, from what I understand, were very good for that.
You have to call some shit in the ring.
There's
you
guys that don't call spots, dude. I'm telling you, they're out there.
No.
All right.
They do it all by feel.
All right, so moving on.
Well, thanks, Kevin. Just get rid of
Because I want to get through. I'd rather talk about this all day, the stuff that we were just talking about. So we got to get through Raw.
Okay, Raw's over.
Do we have? Yeah, Raw's done. Jesus. Stick the fucking fork in it.
All right, Raw. So no one cares about any.
No, all right. Well, what's left? The main event?
Yeah.
Who's this fucking cunt rag and Nene?
No, please no. The less we talk about it, the better.
I don't know.
Who?
The fucking...
The Real Housewife.
Yeah, the fucking... Oh, I can't even... I can't.
You're
I can't,
so lucky
gonna,
I was relaxing.
I'm going to do something. I'm going to drop a bomb.
Keep it up. I'm a nigga. All
right.
Wait, that's one of those
sorry,
fucking...
I pressed the wrong thing. Whores from the fucking Real Housewife show.
Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
She was involved in a fucking backstage skit. And why? Fandango and...
Oh, he
wait,
was
Fandango
there.
Was there?
No, he wasn't there.
Oh.
This fucking no-named cunt rag is in a skit.
All right, enough with the cunt rags.
Why? Cunt rags are delicious.
I just got done wearing mine.
She gets fucking... She gets 5 minutes on fucking TV, and you can't get any talent 5 minutes on TV.
I know. And who? What viewers... Do you think that having her on brought viewers from the Real Housewives to watch Raw?
Yes.
No,
really?
Absolutely not.
Slater Gator.
Slater.
They weren't even on either.
Oh, that's such a disappointment. That's the best part of Raw.
There was so much not on Raw.
Slater Gator.
Slater Gator.
Well, I got to tell you, and I put it out
you guys are actually upset that Slater Gator wasn't on Raw?
Yeah, I'd rather see Slater Gator
than
Zane
A. Cherry with her Buffalo stance.
It's a toss-up, actually.
It is a toss-up.
I don't know. Maybe Nene I'd rather see than Slater Gator.
I'd rather see her fucking moose knuckle.
All
right. What?
So there was a main event, and Seth Rollins...
Did
he cause the victory? I missed it. What happened?
Rollins is sent to the floor. Cena stops Kane from giving Ambrose a choke slam. Cena with an attitude adjustment to Kane, and Ambrose climbs the turnbuckles and grabs the contract.
Okay.
But he also did the you can't see me before he grabbed it.
All right.
Which was kind of nice.
I hope they don't blow it with him.
They will.
Okay.
Because WWE.
And one thing we did forgot to mention is the continued...
We did forgot.
The continued... I guess, split of the Wyatts.
Yeah, they're restarting them.
They did a couple more videos.
They're restarting the Wyatts.
Yeah, they have
as a group
cool new videos.
Or they're going to split
no,
them up?
Okay. They're splitting them up, but they're repackaging them. And
yeah, with cool new videos. I wonder where they got the idea for that
Don't
from.
Get me started
Are they
going
to bring up the Ascension to be with Bray?
I hope not.
They were going to ascend to the
that
main
roster.
That
would be terrible.
Terrible, I'd say.
That would be terrible. Especially if they bring up the Ascension and try and change them into like Wyatt-type characters. You know what's funny? The Wyatts haven't been around that long. They were getting huge reactions. They dropped the ball so bad with the Wyatts that they had to hit the reset button. That is bad.
Yeah. That's what we've been saying that for a while. I thought that the only place for Bray Wyatt to go is to be a face. I guess they're not going to do that yet. So, I mean, at least there's that. But who do you think's going to excel, Eric Rowan or Luke Harper?
Harper.
Yeah, Harper. But which means they'll push Rowan.
Same thing. Yeah. Well, yeah. Which is basically what they did initially with the Shield.
So what's the point of them being separated? I mean, who are they going to feud them with?
I got it.
Big Show and Mark Henry.
Eric Rowan is going to team with Roman Reigns, and they're going to call him. Rowan Reigns.
boo. I can't wait in like 2 months when this actually happens.
Oh, my God.
They're going to put it to a vote. It's going to be Rowan Reigns.
Oh, it's going to be Rybacksel.
Do you guys want to? Are we done with Raw?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Finally,
we were done with Raw 6 months ago.
Let's take a commercial break.
Take a fiver.
Let's play some ads.
Well, I tell you what.
Before
we play the ads, I'm going to play one of the phone calls that we got off the hotline.
My spot, your spot, liver spot.
Hi, this is Joni Lawler,
ooh,
a former WWE diva, the ninth wonder of the world. I'm just calling because I want to talk to you. Kevin.
Whoa.
I understand he has some feelings for me.
Oh, do you now, Kev?
Twitter DMs. But I would rather talk to him in person.
Oh, all right.
Once again, this is Joni Lawler.
Hi, Joni.
Former WWE Women's Champion.
I watch her porn.
Former Intercontinental Champion. I co-held it with Chris Jericho. All right. Thank you. Oh, also, first ever woman to be in a Royal Rumble.
We'll be right back.
Your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, it's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Vinyl Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5-4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. I used to think that the day would never come.
finish this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audioboo, Podcasts.com, and of course, at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com, with such fantastic programming as Chatastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, the Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now.
Hey everyone, this is Justin for the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast. When you're done with this great episode, we would love for you to give our show a try. We cover pop culture, geek news, music, sports, and of course, professional wrestling. Just search for Inconclusive Breakdown on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.
All right, this is Michael Bennett, and you're listening to Shining Wizard Podcast. Check them out. They love Ace Ventura, and they're diehard Patriots fans.
The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast would like to recognize our friends and sponsors, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Follow them on Twitter at ProWrestSyndicate. Every Monday night after Monday Night Raw, 11 p.m., ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Monday Night Mayhem featuring the best of Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Friday, October 31st at the Rahway Rec Center, 275 East Milton Avenue, Rahway, New Jersey. PWS presents 1031, 6 o'clock autograph signing, 8 p.m. bell time. PWS heavyweight champion is Mario Bocara as he defends his title against the Monster Abyss. The PWS tag titles are defended as the Reynolds brothers welcome the Wolves of Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. Brian Myers and Tyler Rex take on Kevin Matthews and a partner of his choosing. Plus appearances by Harlem Heat, Diamond Dallas Page, Bonesaw, Danny Moff, former New York Nick Larry Johnson, step-by-step star Sasha Mitchell, Halloween 2's Michael Myers star Dick Warlock, and more. There will be a costume contest, a walkthrough haunt, goodie bags, and more. Follow them, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. We would also like to thank WildcatSports.com. Wildcat, spelled with a K. Follow them on Facebook, facebook.com/WildcatSports, at WildcatSports on Twitter, and youtube.com/WildcatSports. They have a show coming up November 8th featuring Luke Hawks, Booker T, Bob Holly, and many, many more stars from the Wildcat Sports and Entertainment Company. Last but not least, we'd like to thank our brothers to the north, Smash Wrestling. Smash-wrestling.com. Head over there now and you get a free download of Rival Schools 2014. Follow them on the Twitter, at Smash Wrestling. Sunday, October 26th. This is Smash, the second anniversary show, taking place in Ontario, Canada. Doors open at 2, bell time at 3. Tickets start as low as $15. You get to see Smash Wrestling champion Matt Cross defend his title against Gregory Iron. Scotty O'Shea takes on Brent Banks. And Josh Alexander takes on Johnny Gargano. Plus, many, many more. Check them out at smash-wrestling.com. These are our friends and proud supporters of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, shiningwizards.com. So we were talking, you were talking about Ken Shamrock and his, how fucking bad he was at calling spots.
Wait, can we just get over
the fault
fact
of
that...
Shawn Michaels, by the way.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ken.
What was your... Give it to me.
No, let's all just talk all over Matt while he's trying to do something.
No, that's fine. Go Ken Shamrock.
Okay, so I found another Ken Shamrock flub. He's cutting a promo.
Flub,
on
you
the,
say. I say gem.
He's cutting a promo on the corporate ministry.
Is this when he was in the union?
I don't know union. What he was in. Here we go.
So, Mark, why don't you bring yourself down here? Bring yourself into the ring here.
Whoops.
And you and me, man on man,
ooh.
Let's end this thing right here, right now.
In Baltimore, Maryland.
You don't think he did that on purpose?
Why would you go on live TV and... First of all, it's The Undertaker.
No one's ever done that.
Like, he doesn't ever break character. He doesn't ever come out and just talk as Mark Calloway.
Except for when he was the American Badass.
But...
shit all over his career.
What year was this? It was 98, 99?
This is Ministry Undertaker.
Yeah, it's Ministry, so...
This could be Vince Russo going, if you use his real name, it makes it personal.
Yeah, but at the beginning of the promo, he comes out and he says, Undertaker.
Yeah.
It's Ken Shamrock. He probably couldn't keep his thoughts straight. I'm not shitting on the guy,
great
but...
Great guy. Past guest of the show, but...
My farts still smell like... sound like queefs.
Which hole are you farting out of?
God, speaking of queefs, did you guys are just going to completely no-sell that Joni Lawler is in love with me?
Yeah, that's hot.
I mean, yeah, dude, you realize you were talking to a voicemail.
Huh?
You were getting all hot and bothered talking to a voicemail.
I like that.
He's
like,
Kevin has pee-pee big.
Yeah.
Kevin has wee-wee big.
Dude, she mentioned me by name.
She has wee-wee big.
Even now?
Huh?
You'd go after her?
I'd crush it.
Ew, yeah. Her, ew. You ever probably. Seen her fucking vagina? Looks like a penis.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Nah, it wasn't that bad. Pull it up. Have you ever watched it?
Jesus!
Oh God!
Have you ever seen her things?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that video with her in Xbox.
See, that's the one I refuse to watch.
It's hilarious.
Like I watch her like real deal.
She's a three-input woman.
After she did, what was that show on VH1 where she lived in a house?
Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think it was right. Celebrity Rehab.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. It was not Celebrity Rehab. Because she was there with Mini-Me and some other people.
Oh, The Surreal Life.
Yes.
There you go.
It might as well have been Celebrity Rehab. They're all drunk and puking.
It turned into that.
Remember when Vern Troyer was pissing in the trees going, am I right?
He was riding around on his little thing and then just getting off and just peeing.
Yes.
In the middle of the room.
Vern.
Mini-Me. Wow.
I will call him Mini-Me.
Wait, was
Mini-Me.
That was the same one with Flavor Flav and Bridget
Yeah,
Nielsen?
That was the first season.
Yes.
It's the same show. I think it's a different
It's the
cast.
First season.
Oh, I must break God. You.
And Flavor Flav and Rocky's wife and Rusev's wife were
getting it on?
Yeah.
I like how you went with Rusev's wife.
gotta keep it wrestling.
Gotta keep it
curling.
Related.
Oh, man.
Hey, you went out with that black guy.
Hey, this is Steps.
Why did you...
I put it over on the Steps?
Why
get
does
it?
Rocky sound like Andre?
Ayo, Andre. Ayo, Rocky. Ayo, Rocky. Ayo, Andre. Hey, who's talking to who? I don't know.
Imagine a day in the life of Rocky and Andre.
I got punched in the face 100 times. Who am I? I don't know, Rocky? Andre the Giant.
Rocky?
Andre the Giant? I have a lot of teeth in my mouth.
That's good. I don't have any.
God, imagine if you, like...
That's a conversation I would love.
Like, say, like, one of them was convicted of, like, a...
Hey, yo, Andre. You want to do this thing or what? Hey, yo, Rocky. Let's get it out of the ring. Hey, yo, Andre. I don't hear no bell. Hey, just make sure you don't punch me in my head, okay? I got a disorder. Who's talking right now? I have a growth disorder. I don't know. I have a brain disorder.
You have AIDS.
Is Tommy Morrison fighting too?
Hey, yo, my son's dead.
Alrighty.
Aw. In your face!
Jesus! Wait, he's got AIDS?
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
Take her to the zoo, Rock. Retards love the zoo.
Andre loves the zoo.
I love the zoo. Hey. They kept me in a zoo until I was 30,
Andre.
And then they sold me to a circus.
Hey, Andre the Giant, who was your bunkmate in the zoo? Andre.
Oh my God.
Who did you?
There's no elephant.
They had you with the elephants, Andre.
When I used to stay in hotels, I would take a shit under the mattress because I'm a class act.
Oh man. All right, Andre and Rocky, ladies and gentlemen.
Andre had a shitty theme song.
Andre never had a theme song.
This is what I get when I looked up.
No, he came out. He came out to nothing. Is that audio from when we did that comedy show?
No, if Tony has the cricket sound, that would be the audio.
It was on the other page.
That was the audio from the comedy show. That's how we all felt when we were done. Well, that's it.
Thanks for coming out to Garwood.
Oh, we'll be back. Oh, we'll be back to do this again once a month.
Hey, what's so funny, baby?
Andre, I thought you were a draw.
I thought I was dead.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. I have some wrestling tidbits.
Some news?
Oh, boy.
If you guys feel like covering some of that.
How about Justin Roberts getting released?
Good call, Kevin. Good call.
Well, they say obviously, well, not obviously, they say he got in a fight with Michael Cole during a match and he flipped him off and had a tantrum. So.
During a match?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what the real deal is, but...
Poor guy. He gets choked out by Daniel Bryan.
I hope they do not replace him with that NXT ring announcer. She is the shit.
Renee Young?
Is it Cody Rhodes still?
The ring announcer.
Is it Cody Rhodes' wife?
Yeah. She's terrible, dude. I don't care.
Well, they'll move Lillian to Raw and have a new person go to SmackDown.
You missed your Lillian cue, Tony. There it is.
That's what they'll do.
Ugh.
Ugh. That's right.
Terrible. Justin Roberts was really good.
He was good.
He was the best since Fink that they had.
Well, yeah. Chimmel was good.
Why did they not let Fink announce?
I don't think he wants to. Do you think he wants to?
I don't know. He's 180 pounds overweight.
It's like he wants to keep eating.
Yeah, he looks like the Penguin.
I want another hamburger.
David Adams, ladies and gentlemen.
No, David Adams would be, I want another hamburger. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah.
Brian Adams. Fucking David Adams.
I got my first real six string.
Put it at the frying pan. Turn it to my fingers, blood. Who's ready for one more match? One fall.
Jesus.
I gotta put my suit on and go into the ring. Gonna eat the microphone.
Jesus!
Cause I'm doing my thing. That's followed by. Here comes reality check.
Jesus!
I love David Adams. We gotta get David Adams in studio.
As long as he doesn't spaz out like when he was sleeping and knock over a bunch of beer.
Oh God, I had to sleep on the chair.
Love him.
I thought David that was Adams. Just your homophobe.
No, well, I was.
No, Kevin climbed into bed with him and then realized.
No, I put a pillow barrier in between us. I swear to God,
that works.
And then But as I was getting ready to go in, I don't know.
I saw One-Eyed Willie peeking through the pillows and said, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
He just starts flipping out. And I was like, all right, I'm sleeping
on
this chair.
Did he start whispering in your ear going,
no, I never
this one match fall. Is scheduled?
One fall.
You beat me to it, you prick.
One fall.
Did it sound like this?
It's earthquakes music.
How do we get here?
This is wrestling news.
This is awesome.
Holy shit.
Wow.
I'll say this. I think David Adams does a great job ringing out.
He's Dan Moff once told me that he's the hardest working guy that he's ever seen.
Yeah, he is.
And I agree.
He's phenomenal.
Because at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever during a Jeff Jarrett seminar, while everyone is, you know, doing their thing, David Adams is sitting down at a table just taking notes.
Well, we're at the fair drinking beer.
Yeah, we're at the fair. Me and Eddie are at the fair drinking beer and watching 40-year-old women who have no business dressing like they do.
Ugh.
And then
they all looked like Joe from Facts of Life, only like 48 years old.
Yes, and more mustaches.
Yes.
But
like mechanics girlfriends?
Adams is at the table doing his... going through the notes from past pay-per-views. Who won this match? Mm-hmm. Who did this? What's the build-up between this and that? And Moff is just like, dude, that's why that guy's going to make it, because he sits and studies and does everything
right.
The right way. And I agree.
I think so.
So, anyway, what else we got in news?
There's a spot open now in WWE.
That's true.
Yeah.
Give it to Adams.
Spot,
please.
Spot,
give
liver
it to
spot.
Adams.
That'd give him awesome. A tryout. That'd be awesome.
Let's see. SummerSlam 2015, Izod Center.
Are we getting tickets?
I would like to go for the tailgating and everything and seeing all the guys and hanging out in the park.
Everyone's going to be there, all of our boys. And
let's
everyone.
Go.
Like we did at MetLife with Phil Rea and his boys eating hoagies in the parking lot.
You just described every day for Phil Rea.
Phil Rea just sits in parking lots and eats submarine sandwiches.
You know, I don't mean to get emotional, but this is the best sandwich I ever had. Wait a minute, that's my thumb.
What is wrong with you? Jesus. Oh, that was Eddie.
That was Edward Jackson.
That was Shining Edward Jackson.
Shining Christ. Edward Jackson.
Holy.
Phil,
God.
Phil can take a good rib.
He definitely can. That was
a whole rack.
Do you get what I just said there? Yeah.
It's fucking fucking Applebee's fucking never-ending ribs.
God.
You fuck.
Right, so
I
we're
hope
going,
you invite me out to your fucking house in December so I could run over some fucking non-white people in your neighborhood.
Oh,
with my
God.
Wow.
Right.
Oh,
all right. What? Oh, that, Eddie played the
I wasn't
song.
Singing it. I wasn't singing it.
Did you ever see the video of me and Matt going to the Decker Dome on YouTube?
Yes.
Where
bro,
Matt cuts off an ambulance
truck.
And the guy blares the sirens at us?
Yep. Good shit.
I had to pick this asshole up from a fucking ferry.
He's like, from a ferry?
a ferry on a ferry. Was it
Hi,
the Rock?
Hi, hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Frisco.
So what else is going on?
I would like to go back to Phil's, though, for another episode.
Absolutely.
I would go back.
I think they're doing their 100th episode around Christmas time. If I
Let's crash
there,
it.
I'd love to.
We should have like a Christmas party somewhere.
I want to do a beefsteak. There's a lot of shit I want to do, man.
Well, let's plan a Christmas beefsteak. We got time.
Network Christmas miracle.
Yes.
There you go. I would
just sound
just
like a charity event.
Kid.
Yeah, it'll be a miracle if we're still around and by next Christmas.
I don't know if you listen. I know Tony does, and I don't listen as often as I should, but I listen to the Neckbreakers. I would just love to drink with John.
Yeah.
John's a fucking maniac.
He's a fucking lunatic, bro. They were talking about King Diamond. I don't know if you guys know.
I
who
haven't
he is.
Listened
King
to the new
Diamond
one, Warby's Dancing yet.
Bro, he's like King. He's like King Diamond. King Diamond Dallas Page. Oh, it's fucking howling. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah, he's on, man. He's always on.
That'd be fun though, like a network Christmas party.
Yeah, and just invite everyone. Invite all the boys from PWS and the. I was gonna say the fans, but then I stopped myself.
Boy,
we could do
fans,
we
bro.
Could do like we can invite the fans, but then we can rope ourselves off like we're in the
okay,
VIP section.
Yes, we're VIP.
Yeah,
we'll bring Craig there. Craig Steele pop some bottles with us.
Mm. Craig Steele would make that party awesome.
Hells yes, he would.
We should do it at his place. Oh, right, no.
Why not?
You want to?
Yes.
Sure. All right. So a couple more notes. AJ lost the IWGP Championship. To IWPG, excuse me, to Tanahashi.
IWGP.
Yeah, you had it right.
I had it right the first time.
Tanahashi.
So Tatanka's still wrestling?
No, not Tatanka, dickhead.
Why is Tanahashi wrestling a chick?
What?
AJ.
Yoshitatsu. He came back at this New Japan show and he beat up Jeff Jarrett.
Did he?
Yeah.
It's about time somebody kicked Jarrett's ass.
Willie Mack was released from NXT before.
Wait, Jazz's husband?
No. before he even got a chance to go down there and
they're
work
saying,
for them.
Yeah, they're saying physical problems.
He's a big boy.
No, but they're saying he didn't pass something with the physical.
Oh, really?
That was the word. Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate. He's a good worker.
Yes.
You like that? Batista is rumored to be in the new James Bond movie as a henchman.
Ooh. Good
for him.
Yeah.
I think that's
like Professor Tanaka before him, right?
Yes.
Ah, wrestling related. Double guns. Pew pew.
And that's really all the news and notes I had. Jeff Jarrett crashed a New Japan Pro Wrestling press conference. He claimed to be the president of the Bullet Club.
Take it easy, Jeff Jarrett.
Which, I mean, it was great until he decided to fucking throw his name on it.
How's that Global Force Wrestling doing?
Tonight, when we're done, I'm emailing him again.
I heard Mike Norenganger's got T-shirts.
Yes.
Really?
No. The Global Force will be funded by the T-shirt sales that Mike and Adam bought.
Speaking of Mike and Adam, their After Midnight podcast has debuted on the Shining Wizards Network.
Yeah.
And they covered Mean Girls.
Fantastic.
What? And what wrestling did they cover? I forget what it
mean
was.
Mean Girls?
Mean Girls.
It's a good movie.
Did they cover Unforgiven 2000?
I'm not kidding.
You'll have to listen to find out.
No, I did. I forgot what part it was. I'm already on the Mean Girls.
Whoa.
What?
Yo, Mean Girls was a good movie.
It was.
My wife watches it all the time. I want
mean
to
Girls
see it.
I've
good
never
movie.
Seen this Mean
You'd
Girls.
Like it. Oh, something just
we've
flew in.
We've got gross bugs coming in my house.
It's
now.
A wasp.
Good. Now it's going to hang out over.
Dude, Ebola, dude. Ebola.
Get it away from me.
Oh, God. There's Ebola in the studio. What is that?
That's a giant mosquito.
Oh, get it away from me.
It's just a bug.
It has AIDS.
You have AIDS. Come on. Get it. Nice.
Tony slapboxing a mosquito.
Tony, kill it.
So
it's your responsibility. You're home.
It's over here by Eddie.
It's going to eat your child.
They attract
like a
light.
Eye swatter? How do you miss that?
Oh, God. Don't hit it into me. I swear to... No.
It's a mosquito.
Oh.
Hit it against the fucking ceiling.
Now it's over
dick.
Here.
Oh, Jesus.
One shot.
Oh. Matt hit it into Kevin. It's like volleyball.
At least I hit it.
We're playing volleyball with Ebola.
Just a bug.
Ebola ball. How did you not kill it?
Yo, this like John Cena. This bug is no selling everything.
I hit it back towards you.
Oh, Ebola ball right there. It's on the wall. That's
by
the monitor.
Watch the monitor.
Oh, God. Oh, no, that's me.
By whammo.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Ebola ball.
There we go. All right.
Dead.
Finally.
Oh, dead. Dead.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Dead.
Sound like a bunch of fucking
no,
girls.
No, it's right there. Right there. Right there. Get him. He's hurt.
You missed him, man.
What's wrong? There he is.
Oh, you got him now. He's under the sign.
Oh, he's selling it. Oh,
man down.
Oh, no, he's still alive.
Super Cena.
It's fucking there.
It's
there,
a mosquito.
Good.
Is he gone?
No. There he is. He will not die.
He's like Matt Hardy.
He's still alive.
Where
it's
is
on
it?
It's on you.
Jeez, really? Ah.
I don't think you did.
No,
where is it?
I heard a smack.
Is it on me?
No. Good. I think we got it. You better find it before
oh,
your
Tony's
kid
blown
eats
up.
Where is it?
I don't know, but I don't want to look.
That's
I want to go with the assumption that it's dead.
That thing no-sold the fuck out of every cow hit.
You beat the shit out of Tony beat the shit out of that bug.
That mosquito was hardcore as hell. I'm going to find it in my boxers when I get home.
That's the Terry Funk of mosquitoes.
It's going to be in my pee hole. That was amazing.
Where was that? Where did that bug go?
Ugh.
Yeah, what? You're just going to, it's just, now you're just going to walk around? What if you step on it?
It's fertilizer for the carpet.
It's dead. Let's
just mosquito bite on your tootsies.
Let's just turn the lights out and pretend it's dead.
All right, so I talked New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Did you?
And you're
I will bring this back to Japan.
Why?
And TNA.
Okay.
Because Mike TNA and Taz... Possibly the worst.
Can I just say something? Rest in peace, Dynamite Kid.
Oh, my God.
How?
Oh, my God.
How? Oh first, God. I read that they were doing the color from the U.S.
Yes.
Yes.
Did they do it live?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You can't do it live.
Yes.
Did they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. How do you who's dead and who isn't dead? It's not like Dynamite Kid was some fucking jobber.
Taz doesn't care.
I actually read reviews that the commentary for that weren't that bad.
Really? Compared to what? Like Raw? Which is really bad?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, I mean, I can't imagine it being good because Taz and them and TNA are pretty bad.
They are pretty bad. You know, it's funny. You got guys like Joey Styles, Jim Ross, even Kevin Kelly, who's doing ROH.
Josh Matthews.
Josh Matthews. What the fuck was that guy's name in ECW? The fake ECW, the teacher. Matt Stryker.
Even a guy like Byron Sexton, who I think is still doing developmental
stuff. You have all these guys that are so much better than what they have now. I mean, Michael Cole could be good, but I think he's just reiterating everything Vince yells into his ear.
That's commentary in the 21st century.
I was reading an article that Kevin Kelly wrote, and he said that when Vince used to scream into his ear, he would just turn down the volume. He said Vince was just having tantrums, repeating himself over and over and not making any points.
Say how great this is. Say how great this is.
Bring up the network.
Yeah, it's like talking about, talk about everything else.
Damn
but
it,
the match.
$9.99.
Yeah, basically.
Damn it.
Yeah, so imagine having that insane old man in your ear for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Didn't
go crazy.
During the Rusev Big Show thing on Monday night, JBL refer to one of them as one of the greatest American heroes or something just
believe
ridiculous.
It was definitely a Vince line.
That's awful.
It had to be a Vince line. Definitely.
Oh, Vince should just do commentary himself.
You know, it's funny that the commentary is so bad that I miss Tony Schiavone.
I
don't think he was bad.
He was just, he called everything, I listened to his interview with Jim Ross, and he's like, at the end, he didn't give a shit. He stopped paying attention. Everything was a sidewalk slam.
Wait, in
I watched
WCW.
The match
yeah.
with Booker T and Eddie Guerrero from Sold Out 98.
I believe it was Sold Out 98.
Booker T goes to backdrop him.
Yeah.
And he catches him, and he fucking, like, slams
Alabama
him.
Slam?
Yeah. He's like, sidewalk slam.
Right.
I'm fucking on the elliptical at the gym, and I just start going, that's not a sidewalk slam. And, like, the people around me are looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
Yeah, he called everything a sidewalk slam. What?
So that brings... All right, so sticking on announcing.
Yes.
Who do you guys think, like, if you could pick one... The most like underrated, whether it be, I mean, everyone knows like the great tandems of Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan and Jim Ross. At one time, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. Like, who would you think would be like the most underrated commentator ever, or someone that you like that you don't think a lot of other people
underrated?
Gave credit to? Underrated, like
Joey Styles.
I don't know if he's underrated, but I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did.
Same with Lance Russell. Lance Russell was a huge star.
Yeah,
I don't
think
he gets nearly enough credit.
No.
And they try to, though. Like Jerry Lawler and then they try to put him over whenever they can, but I agree.
Let me give you an example. On the network, I watched Lawler against Funk in the empty arena match.
Yeah.
Lance Russell was there.
Brilliant.
You know who
The way he was talking to Terry Funk.
Oh,
the way he interacted with the guys.
You know who was a great announcer for a little while? Who I loved, who could still be doing it, Roddy Piper.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how he put over that whole thing with Virgil
and
Ted DiBiase? Oh, my God.
And that's another thing.
Piper was phenomenal on the mic.
Piper was good. You look back and throughout. Like,
Dusty Rhodes doing commentary? The mothership, baby.
Dude, just look. Remember, I forget how many wrestlers were transitioned into that role of commentary.
It's a dead art. Except for JBL, who sucks it up.
And Booker T was pretty bad, too.
Shucky, quick.
Perfect was great.
Perfect was good.
Perfect was great.
Macho Man.
Savage was okay.
Especially when he's calling Hogan out.
Dude, they tried Jim the Anvil Neidhart for a little while on Superstars and Wrestling Challenge and stuff.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't great, but he wasn't. Hillbilly Jim did it.
Hillbilly Jim did it. I thought Piper was phenomenal.
I think Piper was probably the best one.
Delay. Yeah. You guys hear that crazy delay?
Is it that bad? Yeah, wow.
Oof. Piper.
That's not that bad.
Okay, so we all like Piper?
Yeah.
I guess. So we're talking underrated.
Yeah. Or just someone that you think... Are we still...
No fucking way. No. No way. No way.
There's no way that's the same one, is
no
it?
No way.
It
is.
It's got to be.
All right. I'm going to get him this time. You guys keep
all right.
the flow going.
All right.
You know who I like, and I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this? I think you got
nope.
You get him?
He's over there.
Where?
I told Matt on the way over here that I was into this Nitro kick, and I'm watching all the Nitros on the network and all the pay-per-views. I did not hate Steve Mongo McMichael.
Now, McMichael was...
All right, be on the microphone if you're going to...
He was annoying. He was annoying a lot, dude. I thought you were going to say Stagger Lee Marshall.
No, I mean, Stagger Lee, when he did Thunder or whatever, he was fine. He had a history. He was AWA. He knew what he was doing. I did... You had to have gotten him there. Check.
Yeah, but if you didn't kill him, if you
check
just
the ground, check
if you
the
just
ground.
Hit him out of the way.
The mosquito's back, Eddie. Anyway, but I thought like Steve Mongo McMichael brought a fresh like a fan's perspective and just like a Southern boy like. Granted, he said a lot of the same cliched lines over and over again.
Yeah, that was a problem. I think he tried too hard and like he just felt like he constantly needed to keep insulting Heenan.
Yeah, but I didn't hate him. The more I watch it now, normally like after I go back and watch stuff, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I'm like listening to Mongo McMichael do commentary, and I'm like, not so bad.
Was he a better commentator or horseman?
I love them as both. I love them as a horseman.
I never hated Mongo.
I love them as a horseman.
Never
I watched
mind that,
that
shit. Here
I
comes
watched,
Mongo.
I watched that today. I watched the pay per view where he joined with him and Kevin Green versus Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. That was really well done.
Yeah,
comes out. Deborah comes out with a suitcase of money and a Four Horsemen shirt on top of it. He just nails Kevin Green over the head with the briefcase, and you got your Horsemen. I thought that was a very underrated Horsemen group too. The four of them.
It was.
Tanay, when WCW was bringing in the cruiserweights, he was good.
Tanay was good. Tanay was fine in his role, and then he got overexposed, I guess is the word.
Maybe. Oh, we're forgetting someone.
Who?
The guy at the end of WCW's run.
Mark Madden?
No.
Oh, Scott Hudson.
Scott Hudson. I really liked Scott Hudson.
Scott Hudson was good.
He was really good, and he called one match in WWE.
With Arn Anderson.
With Arn Anderson.
That was the Booker T.
Oh, my God, that's right.
That was the Booker T. Buck Bagwell debacle.
Ha ha ha, Buff Daddy, baby.
If you rewatch that match, it's actually better than a lot of matches they have now.
I agree.
Raw. It wasn't terrible.
I think it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
That's
I think it got
hot
a lot
as
of overhyped.
Shit down
I guess the expectations of it, the first ever WCW match on a WWF telecast, I guess
you can't bury a company for 4 years and then be like, this is main eventing your show now, guys that you are trained to hate. It was always set up to fail.
Yeah.
The whole thing. You know, everyone
doomed
says it.
To fail.
Yes. So,
and then they shit about a year's worth of programming in one night when they formed the alliance.
I don't even want to think about the money they could have made with that.
You know what I was thinking about the other day, too, speaking of announcers? When Joey Styles walked out on ECW.
Oh, when he cut that promo?
That great fucking promo that went absolutely nowhere and he just disappeared.
Yeah, that was it.
Well, that was his write-off from the...
To go work at WWE.com. Yeah.
So it wasn't really supposed to go anywhere.
Where they hide him.
But it was so great, you know? Like, it seems like it was just wasted on him leaving.
I agree.
They do that a lot.
Yeah, quite a bit.
They do that quite a lot.
Why do they do that, Eddie?
Why do they do that?
Yes.
Why do they do that?
Because they have an agenda and it's political.
It's just WWE.
It's not a Vince. It's not a Vince creation. So.
It's business as usual. Another non-Vince creation that they should have tried is War Games.
They kind of did.
The excuse they always give is that it takes away too many seats.
To put two rings in.
To put two rings in there.
I've been watching the War Games DVDs. I was watching with my kid yesterday. Dusty Rhodes had the best line. He's like, yeah, they said, we got to put in two rings. We're going to lose seats. I say just charge more for the seats.
Genius.
He said they're going to buy them anyway.
Yeah. Charge $5 more per seat. You'll make it up.
Easily. Charge $20 more. Who cares?
Dusty Rhodes made Starcade. They could bring back Starcade.
Yeah, but there was no real gimmick to Starcade.
Yeah, but it's
was...
a cool name.
See, I was. Well,
yeah,
was
they
there...
brought back Great American Bash.
They could have brought back Halloween Havoc.
Halloween Havoc would have been awesome.
Yes. Yes.
They could have dressed up all the divas in like the little slutty outfits.
No, it's PG. That. They'd be in full bodysuit pumpkin outfits.
Just alone?
If they brought back Halloween Havoc, spin the wheel, make the deal.
Coal Miner's Glove.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Hey, Pro Wrestling Syndicate on 1031. Is
That's
doing
right.
a spin the wheel, make the deal match.
Yeah, they are.
Are they really?
Are they?
Yep.
Yeah, with
Was it? Is that Starman?
Moff and Starman.
Yeah, Dan
is
Moff
it
going to
be legit spin, or are they going to have the thing like?
That's a legit spin.
See, we should have asked Foley when we talked to him. I wanted to know if that fucking was a legit spin.
Nope.
No.
Wasn't.
No.
Really?
No.
How do you know?
I remember hearing or reading somewhere very recent that it was rigged.
To be Coal Miner's glove.
Yeah. No, it's Cactus Jack Vader was. Oh no, Texas Cactus Jack. Match.
Yeah.
Oh, so what was the other one?
Sting and Jake Sting was and Coal Jake. Miner's glove.
Oh God, yeah, that's
and they
right.
did that to just to protect Jake from the snake, because the snake wound up biting him at the end. It was the way that Jake could hold on to the snake and not really get bit.
Oh,
I'll have to go back and watch that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Such a great idea, though. I love spin the wheel. Make the that was one of the
well, they,
only
they
reasons
they did it in WWE. They called it Raw Roulette. It was shitty. Ugh.
That was so rigged.
That
was so obviously done, too.
When I was a kid, the 92 Halloween Havoc, the only reason why I ordered it, and in the early 90s, I never ordered WCW pay-per-views, was specifically for the Cactus Jack Vader, spin the wheel, make the deal.
Yeah.
I think the only WCW pay-per-view I ordered before like the whole like you know renaissance at WCW was the Collision in Korea pay-per-view, where Flair took on Inoki.
Mm-hmm. I started ordering WCW pay-per-views in 92, I think, is when I caught on.
I never ordered them.
Because that's when I discovered WCW Saturday Night. It was in, like, 92.
I went to a WCW house show at the Meadowlands, though.
Is that when Sting...
It was Sting, Flair, and a cage. Elegante was supposed to be the special referee.
Hello.
He's starting to get in the cage, and, like, Arn Anderson and... I think it was Zbyszko at the time. I don't think it was Tully Blanchard. They come in, and they... beat him up, and so Elegante's taken out of the picture, and I think that's when Sting, I think there was a title switch, but I may have been gone by then.
Yeah, there was a title switch.
No, I think you're
switch.
Right. I think it was. I think Phil was actually there, and he's talked about it.
So yeah, there was a title switch then.
Yeah.
It's so weird that WCW ran, like, shows.
A couple.
In Nassau Coliseum, at the Meadowlands, like, in this area.
Dude, I had, yeah. I was young. 92, I was what? I was 8 years old, maybe 9. And then, like, we had like, third row, fourth row seats, but everyone was standing up, so we just, like... My dad was like, fuck this. We went, up to the fucking nosebleeds, and we just sat and watched everything. It was great. Brian Pillman fought Sid Vicious, I think.
Wow.
Man, it was cool. That was my only WCW event ever gone to.
We went to Starrcade 97.
The worst, the best build-up to the worst pay-per-view ever, right. And a 13-hour drive to Washington.
The car ride was the worst. Because
there was traffic the whole way.
13 hours to D.C.?
We left Jersey at, like, noon. We missed the first match.
Yeah, it was like an
which was Malenko Guerrero.
Yeah, the only
it was
good
the
match.
Best match of the night.
Our buddy Pete, who left a little later than us, got there and said, "Fuck it," turned around and went home.
Wait, he went into the show and then he left?
No, he didn't go into the show. They got to Washington. Pete's like, "It's late. It's already late. I want to be here. I already missed the matches." So they turned around and drove all the way home. And the ride home was like 3 hours.
Yeah, the ride home
not
was
even.
We sat
like 2.5.
Everybody
traffic.
Can't wait to get the hell out of D.C.
True.
God.
Going
in. Place you want to hang around.
And you know what? Thing. Halloween Havoc 92, the undercard was awesome. I think it was Ric Flair, Rick Rude, maybe?
Really?
Or Sting and Rick Rude?
You know what? WCW's music in that time was the best.
It was good. I don't know about
it was,
the best.
It was great. They had the Hollywood Blondes. Rick Rude's song, Paul Orndorff's song. I mean,
wonderful.
All those songs were great, man.
No, I still like when Orndorff used Real American.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was 93.
Bunkhouse Bucks.
93 was the Halloween Havoc that I ordered.
93, okay.
And it was Rude Flair.
Was the was Barbarian Ron Simmons a match?
Rick Rude or Ric Flair held the fake championship at this time?
Rude defeated Ric Flair
for the fake
to retain the WCW.
Was it Brass Knucks in the figure four?
I'd have to watch it again.
Oh, we did do a.
Well,
this.
You asked for this, Matt.
What?
We got a caller.
Hello. Who are you? What's your name? What are you calling about?
Fucking hate you, Eddie.
Oh shit.
Oh man.
Here comes the heat.
That's it. I never get a chance to respond. I'm just always so shocked to hear his voice.
There it is.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was a great card.
Well, I'm going to go home and kill myself now.
You
thanks,
should.
Thanks, Tim.
Oh, man. Fucking
live with that. Tim. Live with that, Tim.
That was actually Justin Carino.
Yeah, right. Don't start. My heavenly bodies.
What about, so, that's it? That's your WCW pay-per-view memories?
Oh, we were talking about WCW pay-per-view memories?
Is that what we were doing?
Memories?
We were talking about commentaries.
I don't know. It seems like we picked up more steam doing WCW talk.
Than the announcer.
WCW pay-per-view memories.
We picked up more steam swatting mosquitoes.
Ric Flair, when he returned to WCW, and wrestled Vader.
Oh, the Starrcade 93?
Where the finish of the match was just completely blown, but the rest of the match was phenomenal.
That was Flair for the gold, right? Was that Flair for the gold?
No, that's the first Starrcade.
That's when they...
No.
No, they had Flair for the gold later on with the Hollywood Blondes.
I think it was like the anniversary of Starrcade where he beats Vader.
It was great.
Woo!
Yeah, it was the 10-year anniversary. I know that. Yeah. Let's see what they call it. You might be right.
That was 93 then. Because 83 was...
But Flair for the Gold was also just their was their talk show, too.
They did the talk show. They did the first
Fifi?
Starrcade.
Isn't he married to Fifi now?
He's banging her.
She's probably so gross.
They didn't have a
now.
Name for the event. It was just the 10th.
Right. Year. I think the Flair for the Gold I'm thinking of was just the show. And I know the Flair for the Gold was the original.
And this is 93, and they called it Flair for the Old like then. Like, that's crazy.
Oh, we have a Flair.
It was Flair's career against Vader's title.
You know, it's funny because when Hogan went to WCW, he just turned 40, right? And they were calling him over the hill, old as fuck. You look at the roster now, like the top guy, like you have Triple H who's 45. John Cena is about to turn like 37, 38.
What? That's it?
37?
Yeah.
I thought he'd be older than that. By
no,
now.
But they're all right there. Big Show's in his 40s. Mark Henry's in his 40s. Kane's in his 40s.
Jericho's in his mid-40s.
Jericho's in his mid-40s.
Roman Reigns is 52.
It's just I'm healing up. Dick burns.
Dick hurts.
I'll be back sooner than soon. Later? Sooner than later.
Static out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my favorite WCW memory early on was Ric Flair versus Vader. I thought that was awesome.
I only ordered one WCW pay-per-view ever, and it was not until like the 2000s. It was when WCW did... or 99 2000 when they did the tournament and the finals was Bret Hart versus Chris Benoit. I made sure I ordered that, and then it was also Goldberg versus Sid. I think was the main event.
Was Mike Awesome the Fat Chick Thriller on the undercard?
I don't remember. I actually fell asleep. I was with my two buddies. The whole reason I ordered the pay per view was Bret Hart versus Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
I fell asleep on the couch during the match, and neither one of them woke me up.
So that's what friends are for.
And now they're both dead.
What? Yes. Well, one's dead. One's dead inside.
Okay.
Actually, speaking of Bret Hart, we talked about the screw job earlier. He reunited with the Hepners over the weekend.
Really?
In a ring at a show. Huh. He brought out the Hepners saying that no one got it worse than Earl Hebner and yada yada. They go in the ring and they hug and all that stuff. That's the first time I think that they've ever been in the same room together since it happened.
So it's how many years later?
What, 97 to
17 years later.
Wow.
17 years next month.
Yeah, it's about the who gives a fuck time at about now. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, just trying to make money.
Yeah, you think Brett would care more if he didn't have the stroke?
I think Brett would still be wrestling if Goldberg never kicked him in the head.
He talked about that on the way over here.
Goldberg, you jerk off.
Yeah.
He's like, Brett said, he's like, before the match, I told Bill, don't hurt me. What's he do? 2 minutes in, he kicks me in the face.
Straight mule kick.
Dumbass.
This is Bill Goldberg.
Unfucking believable.
I know. Talk about
so
fucking bad
sad.
Luck.
It was the icing on the shit cake that became Brett's career after Montreal.
It's just so sad.
It
it's
really
terrible.
Is.
It's terrible. It really is.
One of the greatest of all time had that ending.
All that shit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. He would still be working now, I think. Absolutely. He'd be doing part-time shit.
Do you think he'd still be with WWE?
Yes.
Well, he still is now, isn't he?
He'd be on a Legends contract, and he'd be wrestling every
he
now
would
and
have
then.
Been Ricky Steamboat in the Ricky Steamboat Jericho thing.
And probably. Feud, probably.
It would probably be Bret Hart.
Yeah, you're right.
And not Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Steamboat still looks fantastic.
But of course he looks fantastic.
He looks better now than he did when he wrestled Jericho.
What would have sold more, Ricky Steamboat versus Chris Jericho or Bret Hart versus Chris Jericho?
Imagine Bret Hart versus Ricky Steamboat.
I was thinking about how does Ricky Steamboat's wife like hate him?
What? Huh?
Like, how did Bonnie Steamboat, like, how did the two of them split up? Like, Ricky just seems like a nice guy.
I don't know. You're not
you
married
think he,
to
like,
him, though.
Like, he, like, Adrian Peterson or something?
What?
Or the kid.
Jesus Christ.
No, seriously, like, something had to be really messed up that happened there.
Well, we don't know what he's... We spent, what, 5 hours with the guy. She was with him forever. We don't know what he is.
Yeah,
actually,
you know, it just comes down to this. Bitches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Bitches be damn crazy, y'all.
Bitches.
Bitches.
So we opened the phone lines, and the only call we got was someone to tell me that they hate me.
Yes. That's fine.
Perfect.
That's great.
Well, we didn't give enough notice.
Man, whatever.
Yeah, it's all good.
I don't like taking calls. Oh, we did get a couple of messages on the Facebook from the Who Gives a Shit department.
Okay.
Ugh.
Who's the Who Gives a Shit department? Who
do you we think? Don't want to mention names.
All right.
Wait, no, I don't know.
Punch up the Shining Wizards page. You can read it.
Not necessary.
Who gives yeah. It? Why?
You'll
Let's see.
It's all right. We could probably.
All right. Here's something that really annoyed me.
Life.
Wait,
life?
Messages or?
No, the post that we put up with the number.
So I'm you'll watching the network, right?
It's just Timothy, Matthew, Rich.
No, there's another one below that.
Keep going. Want to get
watching
one up on. It's that one.
The.
Oh, turn off the phone.
Oh, no.
I'm watching the network. What is the, the fucking predator in the room? I'm
telling you, man, it's like a vagina.
Oh, my God.
Just a queef.
So what are you
away.
Doing after the podcast?
So you want me to shut?
Nah, leave it open. See who calls.
Nobody's calling.
That's okay. Leave it open. I'll tell someone to fuck off. We're only doing this for another
hey, guys. It's JP.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm doing my show.
Strike Force theme song?
Come on, Dave.
Nothing to do with wrestling.
Girls in Cars, bro.
No mention of wrestling.
But they like Girls in Cars.
Nada.
Does Rick Martel even like girls? Rick I've always questioned that.
Dude, I actually Googled Rick Martel today.
Google it.
He kind of looks like Dave Megapowers now.
Does he?
Yeah, a little bit.
That means he's really handsome.
The parted hair, the semi-in shape, like, you know, like what do they call the kids nowadays? The hipster body, yes.
Really?
Thank you.
He
yeah.
still kept it together. That's a compliment to Rick Martel. Like, he looks like a 30-year-old dude.
It's arrogance. And I love Girls in Cars.
Nothing.
Arriba!
Sounds like something that played in Goonies.
I don't even think they're in the music video. Robbie Dupree.
Who looks like George Harrison, by the way.
He does. Good call.
And did you know at the 37th Annual Slammy Awards, Jimmy Hart was the one that sang this song? I bet you he's the one that wrote it.
It sounds like a sitcom from the 80s or a montage from an 80s movie. Like a kid's like studying real hard. He's going to pass that final exam and graduate high school if it's the last thing he does.
They have to be in the video because I remember them driving around in a car. They did a little expose in WWF Magazine. About the making of the video.
I'm like a minute in, and I don't see either of them.
You know,
it's like the gayest video ever. Robbie Dupree is on a beach with his guitar, and there's seagulls in the background.
Did you know? I think Strike Force.
And
was
I'm not
the
even
last...
paying attention. I'm on my phone.
And it was I. I just heard seagulls.
I think Strike Force was the last tag team to have the silver tag team belts before they switched them.
I like those belts.
The ones with the stars on the side?
Yeah, those were great.
Because they won them from the Hearts, right?
Yeah, Heart those...
Oh, Jesus Christ. How dare you interrupt Girls in Cars?
Please be JP.
I hope you're happy you just interrupted Girls in Cars. Hello?
Hello, hello.
What are you calling from
hey,
the
I
ocean?
I can hear you now.
Oh, thanks.
Who's calling?
Yeah, my name's Danny from California.
What's up, Danny?
No, I just saw your post on Facebook about first WCW pay-per-view that I ordered.
Yeah.
The first one I ever ordered was Super Brawl 2 back in February of 92.
Nice.
Sting and Luger for the belt.
Sting and Luger.
Now, after that pay-per-view, were you hooked on WCW, more of a WCW guy or a WWF guy?
Well, I grew up as a WWF guy, and around 1992, around that area, you know, that era... That's when, like, my parents got cable TV, and that's when I got, like, TBS. So that's when I started getting into WCW. I was still really into the WWF as well, but man, I was really a big Sting mark back then.
Yeah, what do you think of Sting's TNA run? Were you a mark for him then, too?
No, not so much. I don't really watch today's wrestling anymore. I didn't follow TNA at all. For me, the best time for me as a Sting fan was 91 to 96, I always liked Surfer Sting better than Black and White Sting.
Oh, yeah,
or
absolutely.
Or Pro Sting, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, he had better matches, more athletic. So you're basically probably, you know, around the same age as us, grew up, you know, around the same time frame. You know, real quick, before we let you go, brother, what's your thought on the product now? You still follow it, still watch it, or is it just kind of the shits?
I got WWE Network now, so I do watch the pay-per-views because they come with the network. I don't really have much to say on it. Let's say, you know, I enjoyed Brock Lesnar having the belt. I wish he would be on TV more. I wish they'd use him more. I'm more of a Seth Rollins type of guy than like Dean Ambrose. I know,
nice.
I know there's a lot of people that like Dean Ambrose. I think out of the three guys that came out of the Shield, I think Seth Rollins is head and shoulders the best out of the three. I'm not a Cena hater because I understand Cena's position in the wrestling business. You know, because I was a Hogan fan, you know what I mean? Then I was a Warrior fan. You know, Sting was the face of WCW back then.
Yep.
I understand, you know, you need guys like Cena. And I think that's an issue that people don't have, especially people on the Internet that they don't understand. It's like, you know, guys like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, they can have five-star matches all the time. But, you know, if people don't, like, relate to them, then it doesn't really matter, you know? If people don't come out to watch them, doesn't matter.
Definitely, man. All right, Danny, thanks a lot for the call, man. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it very much.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
And he's got a point. You find the older fans who were huge Hogan fans and huge Warrior fans, and I guess they get it to an extent where it's like he's the top guy and he's what sells right now.
Right. You know, and it's funny because he made a good point. You know, being a Hogan fan growing up, my dad always watched wrestling, hated Hogan. He said, I'm so sick of this fucking guy. Hogan, always win. He's been around for years, right? My dad felt the same way about Hogan that we now feel about Cena when there's kids that were my age now that feel about Cena the same way we did about Hogan. So the generation gap definitely causes a huge difference. The only thing now is fans are smarter, so they're louder. So fans that are our age will make sure to boo the hell out of Cena because
there's so much more content now.
Yeah, and Cena's so much more overexposed. Like Hogan was a novelty. Believe it or not, you'd be lucky if you got Hogan on Saturday Night's Main Event and a pay-per-view and maybe an interview segment on Superstars.
Once in a blue moon, but he would wrestle a jobber on Superstars.
And no, Hogan never wrestled on Superstars.
He did when it was setting something up.
He never squashed a nobody.
No,
though.
Never.
No. There's one time before Savage won the Intercontinental belt that he attacked Hogan to set up that feud. There was the whole Orndorff thing.
Okay, yeah.
But it was few and way far in between that they put Hogan on
and
national television.
And people just
like
could
that.
Not wait to see Hogan.
It was like, holy shit, Hogan's on and he's going to be face-to-face with Andre this
Oh
week?
My! Yeah. Like, Hogan's on Saturday Night's Main Event in a battle royal. Oh, this is awesome.
Well, Lanny Poffo bled like a stuck pig in that one.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I can remember, you know, staying up late to watch Saturday Night's Main Event. Even my parents, my father was, you know, loved Hogan, and then later, he loved Steve Austin. I was like 16, 17, and I was like, you guys know, I'd go to fucking like an ECW show, and I spent like fucking $200 on RF video tape. So I had fucking Chris Benoit best of. Like, I'd see like The Rock lose to Chris Benoit, and I would, or The Rock beat Chris Benoit, and I would fucking like get in verbal arguments with my father. My father would be like, the fucking Rock's the man, fucking Stone Cold. And I'm like, you fucking stay suck. Chris Benoit is a fucking better wrestler. Jericho's a better wrestler. Why am I getting so upset about this shit?
Wow.
Well said.
But it applies. Like now, like Eddie said, like
it applies.
Cena? Like, ugh.
Yeah. But
they dropped his Greatest Rivals DVD came out today.
Was it him against Orton and Edge for 2 hours?
I'll tell you right now.
Cena beats everyone. You know, I'm glad we took that call. He actually sparked a nice little conversation there.
The Rock is in there, obviously.
Our buddy from California.
It's nice to have calls that actually go somewhere.
California.
That's pretty cool.
Kevin just got his ass kicked by the microphone.
Microphone just beat me.
Every time the four of us get together, Kevin has some sort of issue.
And you're talking about David Adams spazzing in bed.
I couldn't tell if my mic was on or not.
That was awesome.
Here's what's on his greatest rivals. Eddie Guerrero, Batista, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, JBL, Jericho, Edge, Triple H.
No, Big Show?
Well.
No.
That was his crowning moment, beating him at WrestleMania 20.
I guess
that was
not
a huge moment. He got him up for the F5.
No,
the
CM
FU,
Punk? CM Punk's got to be on here somewhere, right?
Maybe
that'll
not
be volume
now.
Two. Yeah, they're waiting. They don't want to make money off of Punk now.
No.
All right.
They don't want to pay him a dime in royalties.
No they don't. Alrighty. All right. Anything else we need to cover this evening?
No. Do we have any plugs, Kevin?
You plugged the hell out of PWS, which was...
Yes.
I will be there, live and in person.
So we'll...
10:31.
So we'll Shining Edward Jackson.
Oh, Shining Edward Jackson.
He'll be there,
who
too.
Who is me?
That is Eddie.
Who is me? I will be there managing Falaba as he takes on Homicide.
Falaba.
I will lead him to victory, and I will also be there with the Heavenly Bodies, Desirable Dustin and Gigolo Justin, as they take on Reality Check, hopefully for the last time, so they can start focusing on important things like the championship.
Yeah, fuck those Reality Check guys.
Hey, I'm the heel here, okay?
I'm just saying.
That's true.
All right? You're supposed to, like,
Craven Varro and Devin. Did you see the picture of Dean Ambrose, who was at the Flyers-Devils game, with Devin Moore?
Yes.
They had the luxury box. Him and our pal Devin Moore were there. So I thought that, even though Flyers got spanked by the Devils.
Devin Moore gets to hang out with the Titty Master.
And I screwed Devin Moore and Craven Varro out of a victory.
Oh, I would like to get... You know what sucks? Like, Devin Moore lives in, like, fucking South Jersey. Like, he'd be such a cool guy to get in the studio and just have him here.
Yeah, I know. Here's the thing. I mean, if you guys ever, you know, we can all make it to a PWS show, like, if everyone's around... We could always grab a couple of guys after the show
and just do an interview.
Do an interview post show.
Yeah,
you know, pre show is too nuts, but post show
we have
not for some of the guys. It's not too crazy for.
Well, I mean, you guys could handle it.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see Kevin around with the wireless again.
Nah,
like old times.
No, we'll get Dickinson in for that.
Wow, how weird is that? That like
that was
back
great.
In the day. It
Kevin
was weird.
Was so scared.
It was weird to be back there.
Yeah,
I didn't even go back.
I was nervous as hell.
Yes,
there.
You were.
I know Matt brought up Mayhem. This week on Mayhem is actually a complete history of the PWS Championship.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Like 2007 till now. Like, it covers every title change with clips and videos corresponding to everything that's talked about. There's full matches. You get to see Trent Acid compete, which is awesome.
Right.
Who else is on the show? God damn.
Grandmama?
No, I'm just thinking about guys like back in the day. Butterbean's on the show. Butterbean was PWS Champion. Grim Reefer,
nice.
Balls Mahoney, Sanjay Dutt. I mean, all these guys competed for PWS, you know, back in the day.
Pukey McPukerson?
No, nice. I'm looking forward to that. That's
yeah,
cool,
definitely. It's an hour and 20 minutes of awesomeness.
Oh, wow.
And there's a new Monsters Island promo at the end. Spoiler,
Wyatt promo? Oh,
spoiler
Monsters.
Alert.
Monsters.
Yeah, Wyatt,
oh,
Wyatt.
There's a new Wyatt promo at
yeah,
the end?
Yeah, there's a new Wyatt promo at the end.
All right.
I made this one different, so if they copy this one, it's completely blatant.
Gotcha.
Like, I really changed it up.
No, I'm excited. We all love PWS, and I love going there and being a part of it. So I can't wait for 10:31.
Oh, I can't wait.
Another thing, there's a cool group out of Boston, Massachusetts that are running an event.
The KKK?
Dropkick Murphys.
It's the Tea Party?
It's not till March. It's March 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's the Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon.
Was running.
A guy by the name of Spencer Javits. Or Jawitz, or I told him I'd butcher his name.
Any relation to Jacob?
March 6th, 7th, and 8th, four wrestling events in one weekend. Guys, our friends, Steve Corino will be there. Colt Cabana will be there.
Boom, boom.
The Rock and Roll Express.
Boom, boom.
Brian Myers, I don't know if he's actually announced, but he will be there. And I think Jay Silva will be working it as well.
Shalom.
Nice.
It's a concept. It's four events with proceeds benefiting the One Fund, which is for the survivors of the Boston Marathon bombings. So Friday night's event begins. Again, this isn't until March, so we'll plug it way more down the road. But guy's a cool guy. Reached out to me, and I thought I'd do him a solid for plugging that. You can go to www.bostonprowrestlingmarathon.com. I think it pretty much just gets you to the Facebook page, but all the info is there. Joel Gertner will be there.
That's
lot of,
cool, man.
Meanie will be there. So a lot of good stuff. So go
sounds
check them
like
out.
A road trip.
Yeah,
it does.
We have plenty of time to prep for
and
it.
And I'm sure the Neckbreaker Boys would be happy to join you guys.
Definitely.
Wrestling, you know, it gets a bad rap, but a lot of, including us, we, you know, wrestling as a whole does a lot for charities.
You said as a whole.
You know?
For real, wrestling wrestling does a lot of good for people.
It does, and it brings people together. We've met all these people, you know, as much as we bust on the fans and whatnot. I mean, we've made so many friendships with so many cool people.
Oh, yeah.
It's just awesome. And you mentioned the Meanie, and I'm going to throw a plug to our buddy Joe Feeney, Creative Control with Joe Feeney.
Is that why he reminded you of Meanie?
Meanie Feeney. He's actually interviewing Blue Meanie tonight. He just had Luke Hawks last
Feeney,
week.
Feeney, Meanie, Bobby.
That's someone that we just have had on hold forever.
I know.
We need to get him.
That we just need to get him. And also, like, we're talking about how we made, you know, so many friends through this podcast. If Matt never discovered Pat Buck, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today.
Right.
That's true.
You know? So thank you, Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
Matt's responsible for
even though
this.
You almost fucked it up for everybody.
Just doing my due diligence.
We had to fix your error.
BlogTalkRadio.com / Cheap Pop Radio 2. Check out Joe and Creative Control. I know he gave us a shout out last week, so one favor deserves another.
Nice.
Kevin, you have any appearances coming up you want to plug?
I mean, no one goes to him anyway, but I'll be back.
That's not the attitude.
A depressed comic. I love it.
I'll be back in New York next week on Wednesday and Thursday nights at Soho Playhouse, the Huron Comedy Club. So come check it out.
ShiningWizards.com. We added the After Midnight podcast to our Calvacade at the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh, and are we working on maybe perhaps getting another show?
Oh, we're working
podcast?
On another show, and I can proudly announce that October 28th, one half of Harlem Heat, Stevie Ray, will be joining the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast.
Whoa!
That's right.
Until Kevin just gave me the eyes, I totally forgot about it.
Wow.
So he'll be joining us. And then next week, I know we have Damian Gibbs and his manager.
Tommy Wansall.
It's Tommy?
Yeah.
They will be in studio. So, I mean, the Shining
Wizards. Not his manager,
Wizards,
his sidekick.
Yeah, the big dude. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. We can get...
So, yeah, a rare
I forgot
appearance.
About his manager. His manager's a great talker, too.
Yeah, we forgot about him, too. He's funny, too.
He is really funny.
But, yeah,
he can call.
Yeah, it's all right. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Rare appearance from Stevie Ray. Rare interview. October 28th.
Wow, that's really great.
Yeah, so ShiningWizards.com.
Can I ask him about his tag team with Big T?
Of course.
Definitely. Fuck yeah.
That's all I want to know.
Basically.
And about
there's a lot I want to know.
Yeah, of course. Stevie Ray's going to be a
like, what were you thinking when Booker T called Hulk Hogan, you know?
Exactly. That was
like,
my
what
question.
What went through
save
your
it,
head?
Save it.
Come
save
up with
it.
Your own question,
I got,
Eddie.
I got so many questions.
For ShiningWizards.com, at Wizards Podcast on Twitter. Love the feedback when you guys... There's a lot of people who hit us up after they listen to the show. It's all positive. It's great. Keep the feedback coming. Help spread the word on Twitter, please.
Yes. Also, I want to send out a huge congratulations to our buddy Dave Destruction for starting his job at Sirius.
Yes. SiriusXM, Dave Destruction.
Huge.
Part of the
Big
Shining
thing.
Wizards Network.
That's
huge.
Right.
Congratulations.
So now we're going to use you.
And we are working on
yep.
a big show.
Yep. What's this big show?
That will possibly be joining the network, but I don't want
to. Oh, huge, yeah, but we don't want to spoil this one.
Yeah, we're not fucking around
if
with
this. If this comes together, bro, this is going to be huge.
Yeah, we'll wait, though. We don't want to.
Family.
Hell yeah.
Is that it?
That's it. I have a closing number.
Oh, do you?
Okay. You know,
don't forget Kick Cancer
bonded.
Shirts. I still have a few. It's for a great cause. Friends helping friends until there's a cure. We do have some Kick logo shirts left. They are sitting right behind Matt, waiting for someone to take them home. Eddie, take us home.
Oh,
you are home.
I guess if you listen to this right away.
What?
Chris Jericho tomorrow night in Ridgewood at Bookends doing a signing.
We can throw our shirt over his head and take a quick picture and run out.
Because he still refuses to wear the one I gave him.
When we heat a certain wait, Ridgewood, New Jersey or Ridgewood, Queens?
Ridgewood, New Jersey.
Ridgewood, New Jersey. Bookends.
No.
Scott Ian was there tonight.
I got things to do. I got things to do. So this is fun.
Yes, but I'm tired. I'm done.
Yeah, me too.
You should have played that black song that you played earlier.
I didn't play that. You played that. Don't throw that on me.
Who, me?
Yeah, that was you. It was all you. I'm a public figure now. I can't afford to sully my name.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
All right, on that note.
Sorry. Apologize.
Good busting.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Later, nigga.
What?
I tell you what.
Ebola.
Oh, my God. You're the worst.
You are the worst person.
We are the ones who make a better day. So let's start living.
Yeah.
dogs in my bed, and I'm giving them all head. Jesus juice in a cup for you and me.
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
And here's Dan Aykroyd in the back for no reason. I predict the future now.
Is that Robin Williams or Kenny Rogers? Or Willie Nelson? All right, good night. We're done.
Yeah, this is over.
I wanted to make a joke about Kamala's foot.